Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I say it, I say it again. You've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok. This is what he does.
Jackson said black or white, man, I tell you, man, it is a ball of confusion. We don't know if we want to be, I don't know. We don't want to be Americans. We don't want to know. We don't know what the hell we want. It's just confused, y'all. It's just a whole bunch of confusion out here today, man. The Temptations had that right in the sack, man. It's just a ball of confusion. But how y'all doing out there? One more time, man. How y'all doing out there? Welcome into one more time to Culture Freedom Radio Network right here on this Friday night, y'all, with Freedom Friday with Culture Freedom Radio Network. And tonight we just have a open line conversation, and we're just going to have some various topics of conversation, shall I say, just various topics of conversation. I got to do my Martin Luther King, y'all. Nothing in particular that we're going to talk about today. I liked it. Told you I liked it. Even how you say particular. But anyway, nothing in particular that we're going to talk about. Well, I do have some things that I want to throw out on the table. I know two things. You know, we got to get into a little politics, talk about a little politics. I've heard this said before. We're going to talk tonight to bring up some stuff about this skin lightening cream and soap and things of this nature. You know, out here happening because I seen some stuff. What was his name? Prince Henry and Meghan Markle seem to be getting some flack because they have invested in a company, Olay, dealing with skin lightening, you know, investing in that. Yeah, so I've been getting into this stuff, and, you know, and we're going to get into that right there, and skin lightening skin, and, you know, we're going to get into some stuff tonight. Y'all know Joe Biden and them, where he signed, I think he signed it the other day, the COVID-19 hate crime bill, you know, dealing with the Asian and the island Pacific nurse. Yeah, protecting them, man, this new law called the COVID-19 hate crime bill, huh? I damn sure black folks saying, where's our damn bill that signed to say, well, the hate crime against us. Since, you know, I'm just throwing it out here, y'all, because since so-called black folks, since so-called black Americans carried his ass over the threshold for victory in the election against Donald Trump. Now, because I got to say they carried this, because now they said it wasn't. Can I say this on the radio without getting in trouble? I hope. Because I don't want to be under that damn new thing they got. What was it? That new investigation they got going into the Capitol investigation, you know, for conspiring with Donald Trump. I might be under investigation. But I'm going to say it anyhow, just for topical conversation. Since they said that the election wasn't stolen, right? They said it wasn't stolen. You know, it was a fair deal. So since black folks so-called, because they were the majority of black people people who voted for him, because you know what the saying is. But I mean by they carried him, because they say black people are the backbone of the Democratic Party. So he was carried on their back, since black people supposed to be the backbone. Y'all get it. So they gave him the numbers that he needed to so-called win the election. So, and we know a lot of this that happened in this country, racism toward so-called African Americans, so-called black people in America. But goddamn, you know, it's just been going around here, and you try to walk to a building. What are you doing in this building? You don't belong here. You're trying to walk in the park. The lady with the dog, damn near about to kill the dog, going to call the police on you because you don't belong in here. The young brother in the neighborhood the other day when the military guy. What are you doing around here? You don't live in the neighborhood. Find out the guy lived in the neighborhood because I guess he wasn't supposed to live in that neighborhood because he was so-called black, right? I guess y'all. You know, so we have a lot of racism things going on in this nature. But goddamn, Joe Biden ain't raised his voice or seemed to said a damn thing. He ain't even promised to stroke his pen to sign a bill. He ain't through a flea flicker, y'all. Mm-hmm. He ain't through a flea flicker like he was going to sign some kind of bill or even make a promissory note or IOU to sign a hate crime bill against so-called black folks in America. But I guess they're going to say, well, shit, how many hate crime bills y'all want us to sign? We gave y'all civil rights. We don't sign this bill. We don't do whatever. What else y'all want us to sign? But anyway, at 9:03, I will be coming in. I'm coming at you. We just want to just get some stuff laid out, some little formats and things laid out. Then we're going to get to the phone line. So just hang tight with us and bear with us for a minute as we lay some things down on the line. Last week we had a great show. Well, I think the lady who called in, I want to say, was it Susan or Suzanne? I forget it. Y'all forgive me if I missed. Get her name. Great conversation. That's what we talking about. Great dialogue. And I tell y'all, man, that right there is what they do not want us to have here in America. Conversations between different so-called racial groups here in America. That is what they don't want us to have. Because why? Because one thing y'all noticed that we was talking about, right? We was talking about the bullshiggity that's going on between the so-called, as they say, elitists, those who so-called in high positions in the government, and the things that they are doing. They don't want us to talk about, see, now it, because the thing about race was off the table. We weren't dealing with no, because you black, I'm white, you turquoise, you yellow, you green. We was dealing with the bullshiggity policies and things that would hurt, basically hurting people and basically somewhat to enslave us as humans here on the planet. And no matter what your so-called colorism were or ethnicity or nationality, because the goal of the so-called ones at the top to, like it was said on the show, to enslave all of us. Now, we think about just so-called black people, what we went through here in chattel slavery. Their goal is to enslave all of us. Would it be chattel slavery? I'm not thinking about it. It won't probably be chattel slavery, because y'all got to understand there's many different forms of slavery, what we know as so-called slavery or servitude. Look it up. It's many different forms. It's like what happened now, people being enslaved. But we think primarily because what we, our experience here in America with chattel slavery, as soon as you say the word slavery, that's what we envision, chattel slavery. But there's many different forms of slavery. Like right now, we talk about people who there's places women are being, women and children, hell, and some men being human trafficked and stuff like that, and being sold as sex slaves. Y'all heard that word? Sex slaves. It's like I said, this different one. Child labor. They are being placed in places in warehouses and things of this nature to work in certain warehouses for child labor. Hell, that is a form of slavery. So it's different forms of slavery. So, you know, like I said, beginning to the right fast though, but that conversation that we had last week, you know, with, and I want to say, I'm not going to say she was, you know, a Caucasian or European or what we said, white. I'm not going to say, but you sound like it. We didn't even ask. Good. We don't even have to ask, as long as the conversation piece was good. And see, like I said, that is the threat that they do. That is the threat right there. What we was doing. That is a threat. When we can come together as human beings, just fuck it, just human beings, and have conversation, put the black, and we know we have racial differences. We know shit that's been going on between our race. We know this. But the people at the top want this shit to happen. They want us to keep fighting because you're turquoise, you yellow, you green. They want us to fight over colorism, right? While they continue to do their bullshiggity. And you have some blacks involved in it, too. Don't you think there's some so-called black leaders at the top who's involved in a lot of this stuff, perpetuating a lot of this shit, too, right? Yes, yes, it is. Let me see right here. Let me get into it. Let me see what we're going to do, what we're doing now. Okay, before I get into this like this here, man. Hey, man, if you're trying to get your credit restored, I got to shout out my brother right here. You want to get your credit restored. You're trying to get your new car. You're trying to get that new house or whatever. Trying to get something, man. Hey, your credit not so good. Probably like Brother Sunray 9. Oh, shit, y'all. Yeah. But anyway, check out my brother right here at Tennessee Credit Reconstruction, man. My brother, Dwayne Jackson, he'd been on the show before talking, man, a while back. Yes, sir. He's, man, working to help you get your credit restored. Man, this is his one more time, y'all. Get it right, y'all. It's Tennessee Credit Reconstruction. He says, renewing your credit is our job, and give us renew your opportunities. Hey, you can reach the brother right there on his website at www.tncreditreconstruction.com. That's one more time. That's tncreditreconstruction.com, the TN for Tennessee, y'all. Yeah, and his name is Dwayne Jackson. You can also can give him a call at area code 901-674-9170. One more time to give my brother Dwayne Jackson a call to try to check and see about your credit, get it reconstructed. I think some things worked out. One more time, that is 901-674-9170. Yes, sir. Tennessee Reconstruction is what he do. And I, you know, hey, man, because, you know, I was trying to buy some stuff. My credit wasn't good. Worth a damn. Wasn't good. Worth a damn, y'all. And a lot of times it's hell because I buy stuff cash. I kind of just go ahead and pay the stuff out. But find out when you're trying to get something or a car or something, they say, shit, that ain't good because you're not in debt with anybody. Y'all, that's crazy, ain't it? Because you're not in debt with anybody, so you can't get credit. You got to be in debt with somebody. Just say, hey, man, what you look here, man. I bought some furniture. Oh, how much was it? It might have been like, you know, it was furnished by $2,000. I paid cash for it. Like, what was it? Paid cash. Y'all remember what's that on Friday? Paid cash. Uncle, what was it? What was his name? Uncle Leroy? Yeah. Paid cash. But when you're trying to get something up, they like, that's not good enough. You got to be in debt with somebody. You have to owe some debt somewhere. Then we can loan. Then we can finance you if you got some debt. But you're like, I don't owe no damn body. I want to pay cash. No, well, that's not how the system works. Got to be in debt to somebody. We're like, you lie, be Jane Brown. Get down. Oh, let me see, Justice. I got some. Let me see what I'm trying to throw out here right fast. And I got you. I got you. Before I get to the skin thing, I did want to get, before I get into the skin thing, that's what you want to get into. I want to get it in. I want to play one thing, and we're going to get into to talk about the skin complexion thing here. I want to just face it. I was talking about Joe Biden. I want to play this clip right fast with old Joe. Old Joe. Yeah, they celebrating. He's talking about the crime bill. Well, not the crime bill. Yeah, I guess it is the crime bill. That with the Asian thing. The Asian thing was. So let me pull it up, y'all. Shit. Let's get into it. Let's play this right fast. Let me get it right.
Hi.
I got to get the commercial out of the way. This is a YouTube clip. Got to get the commercial out of the way, and then we're going to jump right in here. Okay, here we go. It's LA Times. It's loading up. Don't play this right fast. Let Joe.
I believe with every fiber of my being that there are simple core values and beliefs that should bring us together as Americans. One of them, standing together against hate, against racism, the ugly poison that has long haunted and plagued our nation. Today, I can say that because of all of you, many of you sitting right in front of me, you've taken that first step, this important step. All of this hate hides in plain sight. It hides in plain sight. And too often, it is met with silence. Silence by the media. Silence by our politics. And silenced by our history. For centuries, Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, Pacific Islanders, diverse and vibrant communities have helped build this nation only to be often stepped over, forgotten, or ignored.
Hello, what about black folk? Wait a minute, Joe. You said Asians and Island Pacific. What about black folk? Let's go ahead. My bad. Go ahead. I ain't mean to interrupt. Keep talking.
Hey, can I miss from the bottom of my... Hate can be given no safe harbor in America.
You don't
I mean
say.
No safe harbor. It's missed. Like, well, that's just what happens. My message is all of those who think this doesn't matter to them or this is not a problem, look around. Look in the mirror. Look in the eyes of your children. Every one of us are lessened. Every one of us are lessened. We're all hurt by this hate.
And it's almost over, y'all. But listen to him, man. Boy, he sound passionate, don't he? He sound passionate about when it come down to this Asian American and Island Pacificers hate thing. He sounds so sincere, don't he? But what the hell is a sincere press conference, anything, talking about what's happening with black folks in America? Where's your sincerity at, Joe, when they black folks put your black ass, they put your white ass in office. Where's the goddamn sincerity with them, Joe? Let me get Joe.
As a way of seeing sort of through the cracks in the communities and children who, in fact, wouldn't have crossed their mind. Words have consequences, as the senator knows. He preaches it. He understands it. Consequences. But silence is complicity. Silence is complicity. And we
what do you say? We can't.
Cannot be complicit.
So you silent. Oh, wait, whoa, Joe. You silent against what's happening with black folks. So you are complicit then, Joe, because you ain't said a mumbling goddamn word about what's happening with black folks. Well, I want to play one thing that one person did, and he still got ridiculed. But they said he was the racist. This last one, I'm going to call you Joe Justice. Goddamn. Your mic is open, though. But here's something about it. Who talked about racist and who denounced racism, but he got voted out, you know, because he was speaking about against the groups, right, who target so-called black people, a.k.a. African-Americans, who target them. And he spoke out against them and wanted to put a law to label them as terrorists and all of this stuff. But, you know, that old, good-loving Democrat said, don't you do that, because y'all know why? Because they were the racist them goddamn self. But never mind. Let me play this 50-some-second clip.
Racism is evil. And those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists,
what?
And other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans. We are a nation founded on the truth that all of us are created equal. We are equal in the eyes of our Creator.
No.
We are equal under the law, and we are equal under our Constitution. Those who spread violence in the name of bigotry strike at the very core of America. 2 days ago, a young American woman, Heather Heyer, was tragically killed. Her death fills us with grief, and we send her family our thoughts, our prayers, and our love.
Okay, that's enough for right now. I got another one I'll probably play. But goddamn, Joe. Damn, Joe, you ain't got enough to goddamn it pass or say anything, legislation or whatever, for black folk. But they can do that for Asians, right? Since all y'all black folk, I got to say, all y'all black folk that went and voted for Joe, y'all went out and voted for Joe, he ain't, and y'all was asking Ice Cube, said, what up, dog? What up? What you going to do for us? Oh, wait a minute, Cube. Just wait till we get in there. We got something. You got to wait till we get in the office, Cube. We're going to holler at you when I get in the office. Y'all ain't heard nothing else from Ice Cube, have you? But then the thing of it, but here's the point. They push black folks to vote for Joe, but have y'all been, did y'all see any Asians out or any campaigning out to vote? Do y'all even, I promise y'all, they probably do. I don't even see no fucking Asians or nobody out here talking about going to vote. It didn't even got to be Joe Biden. I don't even see no Asians out there pushing nothing about no fucking vote.
Yeah.
Oh, but they got special laws for them. But I'm just saying.
Greetings, Sunray 9. Greetings. Greetings, Sunray
9. That's your partner, Justice. Greeting to you, by the way.
All right. So Joe is doing something to try to appease and to make the Asian community feel like they're protected because of the things that's been happening recently with them. They are highly invested in the country, and to make sure they're, you know, treated fairly, or at least to feel like they're being treated fairly, he's got to offer them this type of a counsel to say, you know, what he was saying. It's just because there's so many of them that come from the Asian countries, and they bring a lot of wealth with them. Now, I was out on the campaign trail several years back when I was campaigning for Hillary, and I was knocking on doors, and I remember quite a few times I would knock on a door and an Asian would come to the door, and I would try to talk to them, and most cases they would act like they didn't speak English, and so I couldn't say much, and then the ones that I did speak to or interact with, they told me that they don't vote. And I'm like, well, it's important that you should vote. And it's like, well, it's no big deal. I don't vote. So a few of them said that they don't even vote. So I don't know how many of them out of all of them that may be registered or maybe not registered to vote. But back when Hillary was running, I remember that the Asian community didn't vote heavily. They may vote if they have something at stake, but typically they don't seem to just go out and be voters all the time. So now when you played that former president, what he was saying, he was doing his best impersonation of Barack Obama, because more than likely they took and plagiarized exactly what he said in a different situation and then just changed the names. And because Donald Trump doesn't have that kind of a way of speaking on a normal way or like in a typical fashion or that to make what he said his beliefs. He only said that to make himself look good at the time that he said it. It wasn't something that he boasts about every day or even every month that people should be treated fairly and these type of things. He never talked that way. He only said that one time. You'll probably never ever find another clip that he said anything even close to that.
I won't find it. Just I'm gonna finish shame you. Shame you right quick. But go ahead.
He might have said it like, all right, you know how if the narrative is he's got to say a certain thing. Okay, he'll say it 12 times, right? Because he's saying that all day long. But he's not going to say that all month long or all year long. He's just going to say that because at the time he probably offended a bunch of black people, and now he's got to make them feel better, just like he's doing with the Asian community, I mean, with Joe Biden. So that's all I got to say on that. Go ahead, Mr. Sunray 9.
But here's why he said it. Remember, he said that first during the Charlotte thing that came up. And then after he said it, the Democrats kept on saying he didn't denounce white supremacists and skinheads. He's not denouncing them. Remember at the debate with Joe Biden.
Took quite a while for them to get him to do it. But yeah, I remember.
No, He had done it at Charlotte. When Charlotte, the thing happened, he did it. So the thing again, they was like, he didn't do it. But they
it
kept playing.
Several days
they showed
it.
That he did it. Regardless, if it's several days. Regardless when the fuck it was done, and excuse my French, it was done. See, that's the problem. Like, you didn't do it. Listen, you, everybody, because they don't do it when, okay, like Joe Biden ain't did shit right now. Then, okay, well, see again. Well, now we want to say, well, why he ain't did this? Well, you got to be on time. He only been in there for 100 days. But oh, okay, when something happened, somebody else got to hear up. That's not a Democrat. They got to hear up and see it right then and that, and within that out. But in all the Democrats, like, you know, hey, man, you got to give them time, brother. They busy. They working on other shit. But here's something that he just said right back.
Paul Ryan this week said, quote, if a person wants to be the nominee of the Republican Party, there can be no evasion and no games. They must reject any group or cause that is built on bigotry. He was talking about you.
But I've rejected. How many times do I have to reject? I've rejected David Duke. I've rejected the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan. From the time I'm 5 years old, I rejected them. I put it on Twitter last week. How many times? You know, it's an amazing thing with Twitter. I have 6 million, more than 6 million, and I have another 6 million with Facebook. I have like 13 or almost 14 million with Instagram. When I put out a minor message, everybody picks it up. Donald Trump just tweeted something very unimportant. Let me just explain. When I put out that I reject the KKK and David Duke, nobody picks it up. You know why they're not? Because they don't want to pick it up. They pick it up. You pick it up. Everyone else picks it up. You saw simultaneously, practically at the same time. They don't want to pick it up. Now, I have been asked this question so many times. I have rejected it so many times. In fact,
what did you think about Ryan saying that, though? That's, I guess, my question.
I don't know. Well, don't forget, he's getting a lot of his information from you guys. So when I tweet about a rejection, almost right after that show ended, because maybe I wasn't clear or something. I mean, how many times do I have to say it? Don't forget, I told CNN when Chris Christie endorsed me, a very good endorsement. And one of the questions, that question was asked, and I rejected it there. That news conference was like a day before.
I said
to myself, how many times do I have to reject or disavow?
Let me ask you this question. What about the David Duke is saying to his supporters?
That's enough. But again. I'm just throwing it out. I ain't trying to take it, but again, they're showing He kept on had to do that. But the Democrats, because see, it didn't fit into their narrative, my favorite word, y'all. It didn't fit their narrative because they had to keep playing the racist boogeyman that he's racist. But like I said, man, look, it was supposed to have been bills passed, laws passed, and things to help people. How in the hell he going to got to keep telling motherfuckers? I denounce the skinhead. Racist. Hey, and one thing about it, they said, well, he got David Duke. What was in endorsing him or said he was going to put his vote behind him. You cannot stop the person, man, as a president, whoever going to vote for you. You don't know who the hell pulling that lever for you. It might be Putin. You know what I'm saying? You can't stop them. Well, you know, Putin, yeah. It's different. But they saw some values that he was speaking to because they love America too. You know, they so-called, they might be racist, but they so-called patriots. They love America and they want to keep America first, which the globalists, you know, your Barack Obamas, your Bushes, as you talk about, they want to sell. They had a for sale sign on America. And this is another reason why we seeing the Asian love affair, because they setting y'all up, man. I'm telling y'all, y'all already setting y'all up to get y'all comfort to love the Asians, because that's America's new landlord. Yeah, the Asians, China.
You're right.
China. Yeah, that's right. America's new landlord. So they're getting you to love, right, protect your new, have love, and like y'all did when we came over here and stole America, we made y'all fall and made y'all respect the Europeans, the colonizers, which from England. So y'all got to do the same thing to y'all new landlord, because they own this motherfucker now, so y'all can be hostile.
Pretty much, China own most
Asian
of
land owners. So this what this whole thing about, just setting it up
right
so y'all can have love for your new landlord. That's it. Don't piss in the grass. Right. Don't let your dog poop in the yard. That's it.
You ready to move on to the next topic?
Yeah, I think. One other thing. Since it's going to be quick on this one, since we talk about conflict. Have y'all been seeing the conflict with Israel and the Palestinians? That's another thing. But outside of the song with Ball of Confusion, Israel and the Ball of Confusion. Cause, and I bring this up too, is because I seen this on Twitter. Somebody said they asked the question. Let me pull that question up because they did ask the question. Damn, where my Twitter page at? Right fast, y'all. I wonder what the hell they said. I wonder what the Israelites think about this one, or something like this. Okay, what it says. That ain't it. Damn, what did I want for? But it says something to the degree. I wonder what the Israelites, how they, what they think about this or how they feel about this. Well, I had to just comment, and I was like, I just said, well, because they were showing something in how these Palestinians, man, are going on attack. They're attacking, I guess, a lot of Jews, so-called Jews in New York City. Man, they cutting up, boy. They clowning in America, even in America, they cutting up. But he said, I wonder what they think. And so my thing was, I said, I'm a so-called Hebrew Israelite because the title they was using. I said, well, our thing is, we don't think nothing of it. We don't think nothing of it. It don't pertain to us. Then I just said, you know, because originally, neither that land don't belong to neither one of them historically. It don't believe it. So, hell, no Israelites, they ain't even thinking about that. You look on any some of the Israelites out there, they ain't talking about it, man, because we already know. And it has nothing to do with what y'all know who they call the Israelites, the Hebrew Israelites. They don't interest shit, man. So, no, we have no interest in that shit between they fight, no sides of it. So, just throw it out. But so, yeah, it's a lot of stuff happening in America. With the Palestinians and the Israelis, I've been seeing in New York, boy, they cutting up. They fighting each other up there, calling each other niggas and everything. I'm like, damn. They jumped on a Jew, or sprung on them and ran up there. So it's going down, man. Go ahead, Justin.
It's going down. Yeah, I wasn't going to say much about that, but I know that the Palestinians are throwing rocks and the Israelis are shooting guns and stuff. So I know Hezbollah is supporting the Palestinians, so they've been firing off a bunch of rockets in Israel and whatnot. So that's like Iran, like a counter-wing of Iran that backs Palestine to support them in the struggles against invasions or attacks. And though that Palestine was just what it was, it wasn't Israel. No one said this is Israel. It was Palestine, the whole thing. It wasn't until those people came in there in 1947 wanting to find a new place to live and set up and claim for themselves and then claim that they're the chosen ones and that they belong there and that this is their promised land and that, you know, that this is this, they're supposed to have it because it's written that way. And so they ran with that, and ever since then, being though that these people came when they came, and that was just Palestine, it's been war ever since. It's been like just conflicts. People would sacrifice themselves and go and blow themselves up to kick the enemy out of their country and stop them from going to places they used to go in their country and fence it off and put up blockades and totally disrupt their lives and their ways of life that they have been living for centuries. And then some people come in and start changing everything about everything and saying that they are entitled to part of a land and stuff, and they don't. Anyway, they claim all this stuff, and then ever since then, it's just been very. If someone came into your house somewhere, and they said, "Hi, how you doing?" You invite them in. Come on in. They say, "Yeah, I'm here, and I'm just visiting," and Oh, okay, well, you want something to eat? Oh, sure. You make us something to eat. Then you say, "Okay, well, it's getting late. Look, I got an extra room upstairs. Why don't you and your wife go ahead and take that room?" And then they go up there and take the room. And then the next morning, they don't come down for breakfast. And you wonder what's going on. When you go upstairs and knock on the door and say, "Hey, you guys all right?" It's like, "Yeah, we're all right." So, "Well, we got breakfast downstairs." "Well, we don't want any breakfast. We decide we're just going to stay up here in the room. And we'll make out the best we can." And we listening to them saying, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "No, we just gonna stay here in your room." And we like, and I'm like, "No, you can't do that. You gotta leave. You just a visitor. You can't just come and stay in my room." And then the guy says to his wife, "You know what? He liked this place so much. We're gonna take the whole top half of the house." And you're saying, "Excuse me?" And they're saying, "Yeah, we're just going to take the whole top half. You know, we really like this." And we're like, "No, man, you can't do that, man. We didn't even invite you, but we was trying to treat you nice and gave you something to eat and all this. But now you're telling me you're going to take over my house?" He's like, "No, just the top half." He's like, "No, you're not." He's like, "Yeah, I am." It's like, "Oh, man." And so he just stays up there, and now I got to figure out how to get this guy and his wife out of my house because he's talking about he not leaving and he taking over. So, then he says, "Well, we going to war. So I'm throwing pots and pans upstairs. I'm throwing things and he's throwing things back down." And he's throwing stuff that I had up there I bought. He's throwing it all at me. And so I'm throwing stuff back up, and then he hit me in the head with something. Bam. Now I'm knocked out for about a couple of days. I wake up. He told me he done took the whole house. And I'm out in the garage. He said he put all my stuff out in the garage. And he in the house now. And I'm like, "What?" And so now I'm fighting the dude in my house from the garage. And I'm going all out. I'm throwing all everything I got at him. But he got everything in my house now. So he's shooting the guns that I had stored. He's doing all this. So I'm in big trouble here. He got everything. This is what's going on in Israel, so-called Israel. I mean, and really the Palestine. There ain't no such thing as Israel before 1947. They made that up.
It ain't no Palestine. Wasn't no Palestine either. I hate to bust your bubble. No, it wasn't.
What'd they call it then? What'd they call it?
You really want to know? You can go back all the way back to Canaan. You can go all the way back to when black folk was ruling it, who were called Canaanites.
I'm talking about more currently though. Like we can go all the way back, but I'm talking about what's going on now.
See, there you go. You taking stuff from the original man. It was called that name changed several times. You can get your Bible, even the Bibles, man. The Bibles have it in there.
Ain't no Canaanites in there though. These is all foreigners anyway. The Palestinians foreign invaded and they set up in there. All of the Arabs did the same thing. All of them. They did the same thing. They took our black land.
That's what I'm trying to give you. It goes back.
I know you want to get land away.
You want to give it to somebody.
I'm talking
you want
about
to give
from
it to Palestinian. That's why I said the Israelites, we don't give a goddamn what they doing, because number one, I said it's neither one of their land. It's neither one of their lands anyway. Point blank, whether it's like here, America, whether you said that, like, okay, in America over here, you said the indigenous people that was in this land, and then you had the French and the British was over here fighting in this land, trying to fight, you know, what was that goddamn war, y'all? I forgot which war it was. But anyway, they were fighting over here. So you were like, the indigenous, like, hey, they should have been like, hey, we ain't got no interest in the mother. Neither one of they motherfucking lands. So why should we join into the goddamn war? Why should we go join the war, the Revolutionary War? I think that's the name of it. It ain't neither one of y'all land. So motherfucker, this both our land. This our land. Both of y'all get y'all ass out of here. So anyway, if you go back and look at any.
You know, the creator him and herself gonna have to do that one, man. That's
yeah,
all.
So it goes back way before them, and then you understand the Canaanites were actually black people, what we call black or call Africans. I know I said that. Afro-Asiatic people. You can look it up. It wasn't no white folk. They were Afro-Asiatic people in that land, and they was, you know, in this part, it sits right there, as some even tell you, on the African tectonic plate. I hope I pronounced that right. It's still, that is African land. That is black land that they are fighting over. And they know, and both of them, if you even look at the people, and you write down, now, there's a documentary I was watching a little bit earlier on YouTube, and I'm going to give y'all the name. Y'all can go and look this documentary up, and it even tells you, it's telling you about the history and how all of this conflict came involved Britain. It says the name of it on YouTube. Y'all can look it up. How Britain Started the Arab-Israel Conflict, a documentary. How Britain Started the Arab-Israel, Israeli Conflict. Look it up. Check it out. And then you got the book I told y'all about a long time ago that we should put up I probably need to put it back up on because I'm Talk Shoe as well. I'll probably put it in the chat room on Talk Shoe. I don't have a camera on it now. I'm just podcasting. But told y'all, you can look it up and get this here. Get the PDF book. You got to get it in PDF because the book going to probably cost you, if you try to get it, it'll cost you $5,000. I've seen it for $1,000. I see you've seen it one time for $6,000, this book. Ain't nothing but like 130 some pages. Who is Esau? Who is Edom? Remember y'all told y'all about, I know my brother LJ, I know some of y'all probably got the book, y'all probably got it. Who is Esau, who is Edom, goes into the history. And it goes in here to even telling you, during World War I, the Balfour Declaration, how Israel, like you said, now how they got, and United States ass was behind it too, how in United Nations, like I said, declared and gave the Israelis, Not the Israelites, but the Israelis that land and declared it to be Israel. But here's something right fast. It said the area of Palestine had been under the control of the rule of Turkey or the Ottoman Empire. So they was under their rule. But it says which had existed since 1299 AD. In 1882, Edmund Rothschild, aha, see, y'all got to go and check that out. Edmund Rothschild, which they claim to be what they say a Jew, began financing a Jewish society which attempted the immigration of the considerable number of Jewish settlers into Palestine, prompting the Turkish authorities immediate to publish orders to forbid further entry. Y'all get the man. I ain't got time to go into this, but y'all got to get this man and go into this history and study it. You will wonder why it's going on. See, but notice how, notice that even with them, and I'm going to jump to something else too, though. Notice the name, the terminology. Now, y'all are here, y'all even might read a Bible, and y'all will see the Bible will talk about Hebrews. And I ain't really just, you know, really, we ain't gonna get too deep in that, like, which y'all take y'all into Bible study tonight or nothing like that. We ain't going there. But we're talking about historical people and what's happening. Notice you will see when you read the Bible, it'll say Hebrews, or you see something say Israelites in the Bible. Okay, if y'all see that in the Bible and those people over there say they study the Bible or they follow the Torah or the Tanakh, why are they calling themselves, why are they not, why do you don't see them referring to themselves as Hebrews primarily or Israelites? Why is they calling themselves Israelis? Hmm? You don't see Israeli in the Bible, do you? You don't, you're not going to find Israeli even in the Tanakh. I have some stone edition Tanakhs or Torahs. And now, and it's basically some of them, Ashkenazis and Sephardines, they have a lot of the things that you know, kind of deal with some translations of some of these, right? And it still will have Israelites or Hebrews. You never will see Israeli. So who the hell is an Israeli? What the hell is an Israeli? And if number one of y'all will see the word Jew calling themselves a Jew, you got to understand the terminology. When you say a Jew, it was relating to a nationality. What a nationality. I know y'all see where it talk about 12 tribes of Israel. There was a tribe called Judah. But still, again, you have to look at it just as even before Palestine and all of that, you had a place called over there, Judea. You had a landmass or a nation called Judea, which was, you know, and I had to get into the Bible a little bit. You had so-called 12 tribes of Israel. And there was a split between those 12 tribes. And you had 10, that's why they said the 10 lost tribes. They tell you about the 10 lost tribes. They became what they call the Northern Kingdom. And you also had three tribes who combined together, which became the Southern Kingdom. And they became the nation, since Judah was the largest and the majority, they became the nation or the place what they call Judah. That's what, I mean, Judea. Now, remember now, I'm just using English terminology because we will say Yehuda or Yehudim. And like what he's saying, Jew, say Yehudim. But I'm going to keep it English. I'm going to keep it simple tonight. I'm just going to use the English terminology. But you would have the Judea, the nation of Judea. And it was the tribes was Levi, Judah, and Benjamin, which made the nation of Judea. So look at the maps. You will see that. And so when you hear these people now, y'all hear them calling themselves Jews, you'll think they're, well, they Jews, they from the tribe of Judah. No, they just talking about the nation of Judea, that place they came from, what they living in now, was actually supposed to be in the nation or the state called Judea. You know, I get it? Or Judea. So even when you got a so-called Jew who wrote the book, The 13 Tribes, called Arthur Kessler. Now, the Bible's a 12. What 13 come from? It says Arthur Kessler wrote a book called The 13 Tribes, and he talked about, y'all can look this shit up on YouTube. It's all over YouTube. They got documentaries, just any books you can get it. And they tell you, it's no history. Hell, it's in the Encyclopedia Britannica. Look up Ashkenazis. Look up Ashkenazis.
Sorry, I know you're talking about.
And yeah, then you will see who's there and why. So the conflict going to be forever when you got two foreigners, two people who really don't own that, who's not really the original or it's the indigenous people of that land. Both of them, the Arabs and those Israelis, in which you go back to find out Britain and all of these and the fake Jew, and I'm going to say it, the fake fucking Jew, called the Rothschilds. And you even see how they even changed their name. There's a whole bunch of history. But anyway, that conflict going to be forever. of two fake-ass people trying to hold on to something that don't belong to them in the first place, just like they do in America. They'll never get it back to the so-called indigenous people of this land. That's why they even come out and say they $5 Indians and shit, pretending that they were so-called Indians that turned loosely Indians because they want to make sure they hold on. But that's another history, y'all. But, yeah, so, no, nah, we don't have nothing to do with them. They can do whatever. Now, it's bad that the church, here's my only problem, though. Again, I find a problem that when the women or children are getting involved and getting killed, innocent women, especially the children, over some bullshit, over that same the lie in the bullshit, that's my only problem. Now, it just wasn't any conflict. If y'all leaders of these lands, I don't give a fuck who it is, if you Kim Jong-un, whoever you are, if y'all have problems with another so-called leader of another nation, why don't y'all get y'all punk ass out there in the street and fight each other or do whatever? Rent out a goddamn auditorium. Rent out an auditorium and get y'all punk asses in there like gladiators and y'all fight. But see, when y'all have a conflict with another leader because of financial, he don't agree with this financial trade, or he don't agree with so-and-so, y'all put sanctions on him, and y'all hurt the people. Notice when they put a sanctions on another nation, y'all think the leader, like they put sanctions on a Russia. Y'all think Putin gonna starve from that shit? Y'all think that's gonna hurt Putin? Hell no. Putin can resist. He's like, hey, fuck y'all. He'll keep on doing whatever he's doing. Hey, put all the sanctions you want us all you want to. It's not gonna affect them. It's gonna hurt the people. It's going to hurt the people. It's like a lot of them. So I say, man, y'all
That's
leaders,
right.
if
right.
y'all want to, if y'all have a problem with another leader, put y'all some gloves on, do whatever y'all got to do. Y'all fight your own freaking battles and stop hurting the people. I don't give a fuck what country it is.
Yeah.
Just fight this
yeah.
shit out y'all still. Y'all the ones that started the shit, fight it out y'all still. May the best
yep.
man or woman fucking win. That's how y'all do that. But y'all getting innocent men and women and these babies killed over y'all bullshit, and y'all going to live forever and ever. That's how.
But you know what, Sunray? What you just said is something that used to be done. The kings would fight each other, or the two warriors, the top chiefs, if they had a beef with each other, they would fight each other. They wouldn't let everybody else get hurt. It would be a one-on-one, and the best man win. You know, that's all.
Brother
it Alpha ain't got to be all this.
Yes, sir. Brother Alpha Male said war always targets citizens. Most definitely, brother. Yep. That's what they're doing, targeting the citizens. And y'all
what
citizens.
What you were saying makes black sense about the two leaders get together and have it out instead of everybody else having to die because of their stupid foolishness.
Yeah, but when a war break out, where they going to be at? They're going to be hiding in their bunkers and shit somewhere.
Yep.
In Colorado,
yep.
in the mountains, headed way
yep.
100 feet down in the goddamn ground somewhere. Everybody else
That's
getting
right.
slaughtered and shit. Then when the nuclear fallout happens, they're going to come out the bunkers when all the smoke is clear, and they're going to repopulate the earth. Okay, well, everybody in the bunker, I guess we're going to repopulate the earth. And we sure hate all of them got killed.
when those two chiefs or warrior chiefs or leaders would come together and have a beef and fight each other, it would be people on both sides rooting for them to win or lose. And sometimes if you had a bad leader, you might even root for him and let the other guy be your take over and be your leader. You know what I mean? So it's just a matter of how it goes down, I think.
And I just hit the last part on it. Like you were talking, and I've been looking at a lot of stuff with our good brother Zion Lex, man. Zion Lex been going in hard.
That's your boy. That's your boy.
He's been showing, he doing some scholarship. Now, he's been showing
All
some
right.
stuff dealing with the Nomer palette. Even with that on the Nomer's palette, they show Nomer on there with another, I guess a tribal person, whoever else. We call his enemy. They showing Norma over there with the club in his hand finna go upside somebody's head. So
see, that's what I'm talking about.
So all of these old punk ass leaders today is just what y'all are. Some punk mother. Never mind. Draft dodgers
go
and
ahead,
all this
man.
Shit.
Go ahead, straighten them out. Go ahead, cuss them out real good.
I don't need men in black at my door, not tonight anyway.
Oh, they ain't coming. They love it too, man. You
I know it.
You got a PhD and cussing degree.
Ass drunk anyway. They ain't listening to shit we talking about.
We ain't no harm. They know we ain't no harm. All right, so look, you ready to go to that next subject? Because recently...
Yeah, go and jump on the light-skinned thing.
Well, sorry, now you're not going to believe this.
Uh-oh.
Recently.
You dyed your skin.
Huh?
You sure ain't going to believe
what?
It. You bleached your skin.
Come on, bruh.
Oh, okay. Come you said I'm going to believe it. My bad.
That ain't what I'm talking about.
Oh, my bad. You said I wasn't going to believe you. Now, I wasn't going to believe that.
Well,
but go ahead, my bad.
You shouldn't believe that. I ain't trying to do that. No way. I'm happy in the skin I'm in. Okay.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, bro. I'm going to shut up.
No, you ain't got to shut up, man. Just listen to this, and then you got to comment. You got to say
something.
You're
going to leave it up and flip it all over. Tony, I'm going to come with a little twist. On this tonight. Yeah, it's going to be kind of crazy. Now, you might not believe
it. I already know.
Go ahead, yeah. Lay it out for me.
All right. So this wasn't included in everything else that we were talking about earlier.
Yes, sir.
But this came to me because I saw this probably earlier this week, early in the morning. It was on a news clip. They showed a young lady about 6 years old, young girl, black girl. And they sat her down and put a couple of dolls in front of her, a black doll and a white doll. And they began to ask her questions. Now, this was just a week ago. And she was a pretty little black girl, you know, cute little black girl, or whatever it is. But they asked her about these dolls. They said, well, on these two, which of these two dolls is the pretty doll? And the girl would point to one of them. And when she pointed, in this particular case, to the white doll. And they said, well, which one is the mean doll? And then she pointed over to the black doll. Then they said, well, which one is the good doll? Which one is the good doll? She pointed to the white doll. Then they said, well, which one is an ugly doll? Which one is ugly? She pointed to the black doll. They said, well, which one is a good doll? She pointed to the white doll. So which one's a bad doll? She pointed to the black doll. And I was blown away. I was like, wow, this stuff hasn't changed yet. These young girls still choose white over black, even at a young, early age, probably because of how their parents are gearing them or teaching them, or even just in society, if they're watching, what do they watch? They watch cartoons. And even in the cartoons, they could have some ways in which it doesn't make a black girl feel pretty, or she doesn't see anybody that fits her image on the cartoon, and then she might end up wanting to be like the pretty white princess, or she might want to, you know, have a life like the white cartoon versus the ones that are depicted as the black people. So that was just something that stood out to me, you know, because I know they did that test back in the day, probably in the 50s or the 40s or the 50s or the 60s, and the outcome was the same. They asked similar questions, and the black girl way back in the day did the same thing. She pointed to the black doll when they asked things that were like in a derogatory way, like if she was a bad doll or ugly or mean or something. They would always point that way. So I think society teaches young black kids themselves and to love and embrace the what they call a white beauty, or the society's pick of beauty is a blonde hair, white woman with blue eyes or something. So a lot of black girls you see with blonde hair, and some of them have the contacts in with the blue eyes. And you wouldn't know if you didn't, if you were behind her, you wouldn't know if she was black or white. And then she turned around, oh, well, it's a black girl. Because they got the wigs on or the weaves in and stuff. So a lot of people are seeming to not like the skin that they're in. Now, that goes both ways. Now, you know, we know about the black girls who've been bleaching their skin, trying to get lighter and to look more acceptable to white society and to feel like they could fit in better, even on their jobs or whatever they do. And then you got the white people who will go out and get a tan and sit in the sun, go to the beach and get a tan, or sit on their roof or in their yard and get a tan. And then they got a whole industry of tanning salons where they go to a place and they go and sit inside this thing and it gives them a tan when they get in it. It's like the incubator type thing. And it heats you up and it makes you, you know, gives you a tan. And then they got the spray tans where white people can buy the tans that they can spray on. It's a spray-on tan, so they have kind of different tones. So it's like different ones. I think that's what Donald Trump used a lot, like the orange tone one. He liked the orange one. And that's probably like the darkest one, the orange, because most white are lighter tan. So anyway, white people love to get tans because they're not really happy with maybe how their skin is too. So I've even been in a case where I've known a friend of mine who was talking to his sister. He said to her that she needed a tan, or she looked really pale and she needed a tan, or she needed something like that. So they deal with being pale and not liking being pale, and would rather look a little darker or have a little more color to them, or, you know, have a little, looks like, you know, a little tone to it or whatever it is. Because a lot of white people, they don't have a lot of melanin. So if they took off their shirt or you see their short, you know, and shorts, a lot of them, some of them are really, really pale. Now, there's a lot of black people who haven't seen really, really pale white people because they don't tend to think that white people can get really, really white. Pale white person that doesn't get in the sun very much, they can get really ghostly white. And so the ones that we normally see, white people, they are in the sun, in and out of the sun pretty often. So they have a little coating of melanin from the sun that helps them out from not looking so pale all the time. So, you know, their thing was to have a tall, dark, and handsome man or something. So he's going to be like this beach bum guy, you know, and he always have a tan. He's a white dude, like the Ken doll, the Barbie and the Ken, or the white dude. He's the Ken doll with the tan, and he got the blonde hair or whatever. And so, you know, he got to get the tan too. So they like that tall, dark, and handsome. Or, you know, that was what they used to say they liked back in the day. And so, you know, there's a lot of people who do different things. It seems like there's a color that people want to meet to. It's like almost like a beige or something. Like, it seems like black people want to lighten themselves. And then some of them, some white people want to get darker. So, you know, it's like, that's like a middle right there. It's like a beige, like a yellow or whatever they're trying to achieve. But then when I think about people who do go and start bleaching their skin, is, you know, that's something that is a choice by somebody to do. You don't have to do that, because if you want to lighten your skin without doing that, then you probably just avoid the sun. And then, like, I don't know how you feel about that, but maybe if, like myself, I got like probably two tones to myself. So I'm kind of dark on my hands and arms and hands and stuff, but then my chest area is more light. So if I take off my shirt, then my arms look dark and my body looks lighter. Now, if I sat out in the sun and took my shirt off and got a tan, then I would have a tan all over my body. It would match all over. It would be like a reddish tan looking thing that I usually get if I ever sit out and get a suntan with my shirt off and got my shorts on and sitting out there with the radio on with a cool beverage, getting a tan. And I flip over, you got a tan on the backside. So, you know, get your back and everything, get a whole tan. Now, ain't nothing wrong with getting a tan. What's wrong with that? You're supposed to get a tan. The sun helps you. Like, the more sunlight you get in a melanated body, it, like, does a whole lot of good for you. You know, it builds up your bone density or, it builds up a lot of stuff, let's say. The sun is the vitamin D. It's the natural vitamin D that you get, you know, from nature. All right, I think you put me out on the rope and let me just convict myself. So go ahead and pull me back in. You go ahead and play a clip or something. See what the ladies got to say.
No, I just wanted you to go ahead and lay out since you wanted to get going into the next topic.
Yeah,
We just open line. We didn't have this topic. We just talk about various stuff. So if anybody want to know exactly what's going on, you talk about skin lightening.
Or darkening.
Yeah.
Who want to darken their skin.
Yeah, because like I said, kind of like Prince Harry and what's her name, Meghan Markle. Now, here's an article from news.com was talking about, I just pulled this one up, because I heard him talking about it on the radio the other day. Meghan Markle ripped over a deal with a company selling skin whitening cream. And it was saying how, you know, they joined forces with Procter & Gamble to sell, saying controversial Olay skin lightening cream. Now, and so we do know a lot of this is happening in Africa. Boy, they talk about how it's some parts of Africa, man. That is, they are selling the daylights out of their damn skin lightening cream.
In Nigeria, too?
That's probably one of the places, yeah. It says Megan has talked a lot about the issues of race and racism, so this does not stick out. This does not stick out like a sore thumb. Now, because I remember she went on Oprah's show talking about how, you know, the first family or whatever they are, the royal family, is supposed to be racist and stuff. And they talked about the baby. They was wondering, was she going to be dark skinned? So here you go. Now, all of a sudden, but she's linking up with somebody to a company to sell this type of skin lightening cream. Now, they're saying the company Olay brand sells to white. They sell a white radiance moisturizer in India, Malaysia, and Singapore. They mentioned in Africa, in India, but I was seeing something. They was talking about how they marketing it towards Africa as well. It says skin lightening cream are advertised for their ability to reduce the concentration and production of melanin, which gives skin its pigmentation. But anyway, that's enough on that. But that's what they just talk about. I see Olay Radiance Cream. But in that, and I ain't no man, Brother Justice, you sent me this thing with Megan Good, almost my baby mama now. Don't tell nobody. Used to be. Don't tell nobody else, y'all. But anyway, with Megan Good, I didn't know that maybe, I don't know, maybe her skin got a little lightened. You know, I don't know. I was seeing that video you were sending. I tried to Google some images, and it did look like it, and some looked like it was just lighting and this, that, and another. But people do talk about that, you know. And it's just, I don't know how to come in. I want to just throw a little caveat. I mean, I was thinking about this and throw a little caveat in, and like I said, I may come from different ways. Now, is it all that, because, you know, they say if you try to lighten your skin up, right, and let me say for the record, I ain't trying to justify nobody going bleaching their skin and none of that shit. I'm just asking questions, just going to throw in something. And I got to go in here for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Mr. the Black Man. Yeah, I got to go there. They say when a black person, so-called black person do it, melanated person, they try to do it. Is it all a thing? Because we'll say, man, it's self-hate. They hate themselves. They don't like the way they look or something. It's all about self-hate. Now, I know in Islam, when I was in the school of Islam, it talked about that you're not supposed to change your way you look, like all of these butt implant, hell, nose jobs and getting Botox in your face. You're not supposed to do none of that stuff, because it was saying that, you know, is that Allah created you. And if you doing that, you mean you're trying to say Allah was not, he's not perfect. You know what I'm saying? You know, that to that nature, he's not perfect. So you saying he made a mistake, because they say he, I know some of y'all say she, but you saying the creator made a mistake and didn't know what the creator was doing. It created you the way you are. And it was saying that don't go changing and stuff like that. But anyway, so. And I'm glad you mentioned too, Brother Justin, you mentioned how, and we'll talk about if a black person going and bleaching their skin, they trying to get like they white and so on and so, but then on the other level, like you said, the Europeans or Caucasian turn around and they do try to get tan and get black. I wonder, do white folks even talk about them? Look at them trying to look like a goddamn black person, but trying to look like black, trying to look like an African American. They just sell out. No. They hate themselves. Yeah, I wonder, when did they even say anything like, the goddamn white boy?
Never.
Yeah.
He looks Italian.
And we know damn well now, and okay, we might say a black person trying to do it because, and I just seen it in that article, it was talking about because it said that they look at white as the image of success. So they feel that they maybe had to lighten their skin up. That's some of the things that have been said. If you lighten your skin, the lighter you are, the more privilege you can get in certain things. Y'all know how some of that had been going around, that had always been around, talk like that. You get certain privilege because of your skin complexion, and people treat you different. Just like even it's in the black community. Some black people get treated better than certain, you know, dark skin person, another black person. Even amongst ourselves, not just a white person, but even amongst ourselves. Look at that old black ass. I can't stand this little black ass. You know what I'm saying? He might be a red ball or something. We call a red ball. And they don't like him. They always look at this black ass fool.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
And so I wonder, and I got to go. Here's the twist I want to go with, y'all. I'm really trying to see how to even say this. I know I'm kind of rambling my damn self, y'all. Forgive me. And I was thinking about some stuff. And I looked at it, I said, let me go to the message of black man too and see how this is. I was just, you know how they say that the black woman births every other so-called racial group or color group on the planet, right? Everyone. And we might just say black was first, and then white is the last stage in the evolutionary color chart, right? Black. So I wonder, like, is some of those women like, I want to change the way I look. I want to go to the last, change myself. Since white come up out of me, they probably ain't thinking like this, though. But I want to go to the last stage of myself, which is white, because I'm the mother of creation, all of this. I want to look like my last stage, you know, which would be white. They want to look at the other side of themselves, because like I said, cause they, you know, they how they talk about how the some such signs will tell you, well, white people, they might have been dogged and they moved into a cold climate, and that's how they got they lost their melanin, and then that's how they became white. I know you don't hear some people talk like that.
Yeah.
They came white. So maybe there's somebody looking at, hey, I want to get to that last stage of myself, which would be white, my last evolutionary stage of myself, which would be white. And we'll go over here with somebody right fast. Here's Elijah Muhammad talking about in the message of the black man. What's the chapter title, man? I'm trying to find the chapter. What is entitled? It's called The Devil. It said The Making of the Devil. Now, he's going into this thing about Yaku on page 12 of my message to the black man right here. He's talking about Yaku. He said he learned from studying the germ of the black man under the microscope that there are two people in him, and that one was black and the other brown. He said, if I could successfully separate the one from the other, he could graft the brown germ into his last stage. Remember that now. The last stage, which will be white. Remember I talked about the last stage, the woman looking. So he said, with his wisdom, he could make white, which he discovered was the weaker of the black germ, which would be unalike to rule the black nation for a time till a greater one than Yaku was born. Now, this last part, man, hey, that's a whole subject in itself, which would make the white rule the black nation for a time. Now, that would be something. That's a whole goddamn subject by itself right there. We'd be like, hey, man, well, see, the white man was made to rule over us, according to Yaku. But that's another story. Mm-hmm. But what he looked at, and I'm telling you, when he said that they discovered that the white was the weaker germ of the black, that was an article even 5 years ago, a couple of years ago, and it said how the white germ was weaker than the black, the so-called black germ. It was just like, it kind of written just like that. It was on Fox News. It said white, genetically weaker than black. That's Fox News, y'all.
Wow.
At the racist news site. It was on there a couple of years ago. But anyway, though, but he said that it was that the brown was grafted into his last stage, which would be white. So, I just think that's it. So, are some of these women as desperate as they thinking, I want to be the last stage of myself, which would be white. So, if they thinking like that, so would it be, because, you know, they seeing something, as he's saying here, they looking at it under this microscope. There's two germs. A black and a brown. And so are they looking at that like, well, shit. Because, you know, like vitiligo. I don't know how, you know, they said Michael Jackson had it. But, you know, vitiligo, they said that's a real thing, vitiligo. Skin automatically start changing and getting lighter. You know, that, you know, skin disease, whatever. So it's like some people just probably, instead of like having a vitiligo, some like, hey, I'm going to leave this goddamn skin lighting cream. And I'm going to light my shit up, but I'm still, hey, this still me regardless. And
yeah.
I don't know, man. But, you know, is it really? Because, like I said, what about the white person? Because we know he ain't going to get no privilege being turning himself goddamn black. Be honest. You don't want the consequences of so-called becoming being a black person. And I wonder if it was, just say this here. With skin lightening. And I'm not trying to justify this shit, y'all. Please hear me out. I'm not trying to justify, but I'm just thinking out some out of the blue today. If it was no such thing in this country, really how they promoted racism, because you black and you can't, you like we said, the thing about the theory, the critical race theory and all of that. If we didn't have none of that, nobody judge you because of your skin complexion, right? Yeah, you are what you are. They just looked at you like the content of your character. Would people even bring that up if a person decide like, hey, I want to go a little lighter. I want to go a little lighter skin. So it would be just like, well, are they looking at this thing? I want to change my skin. Because some people, right, we look at like, it's like cosmetic change. Some women want bigger breasts. So they get a breast implants to make their breasts bigger. Some get the injections in their lip. Some get it in their buttocks. You know, some people change the color they hair. They got naturally black, jet black hair. Here now they got green, they got blue, they got so-and-so. So even with all of those type of things, is it that people just don't like the genetic makeup, their genetic makeup? Now, I know it's easy because of racism. We say when they lighten their skin, they don't like themselves. They're trying to be white. And some of that could be totally true. Some of that probably is totally true. They think they're going to be more accepted because of their, you know, light skin. Now, a lot of that probably be true. But on another level, is it that it's just like, hey, man, just another cosmetic thing I do. I changed my hair. My hair was black. I got it green. I got it purple. You know, I got, you know, women that got their breasts, and I don't know what men get Botox in their jaw and all that shit. It's just a cosmetic thing. It's not that I don't like myself. I love myself, so-called, my heritage of so-called being black. I just want lighter skin. I'm not looking for privilege. Is that some of the things that some people think? It's just a cosmetic thing? Or is it all of it just, I don't want to be black. I don't want to be looked at black because of the things that happen with so-called black people in their skin complexion, that suit they got. I'm just thinking, thinking kind of crazy tonight. I don't know. And I don't think all of it is just because of that, because of, you know, probably because of some of the things that, you know, want to be white and we accept it. I don't think it's all that. Because like I said, again, because I looked at it, like you said, brother, how white people go and change. They want to get dark skinned, but they goddamn sure the hell know. Like I said, again, ain't no privilege with being black. Ain't no goddamn black privilege. You know, you get pulled over by the police and all that old good shit. You might get your ass beat down.
Or shot.
So, yeah, Black Lives Matter had to come march for you. So we know damn well they ain't changing for that. They might be like, I like that. I like that skin tone. I like that how that's been. And like you said, brothers, some folks, like I said again, like me, in the summer, I do. I get a little darker because, like I said, being in the sun, being out there in that hot sun. Because most of, like, especially my unexposed areas, like my arms, sometimes four, if I wear long sleeve, man, I don't get super dark, but I get dark as a mother. It's like it'd be real darker than a damn penny. Real
brown. Real brown.
I used to be kind of light-skinned back in the days, but might be always being out there working in the sun. I've gotten a lot darker than I used to.
Yep.
And I remember when brothers used to say, man, they see a lot of brothers go to jail. Like, when they don't get that sunlight, a lot of brothers lighten up because you inside that building. You're not getting you're not getting the sun. You in the cold. So a lot of people, brother skin, do lighten up when they in there. It's a lot. So somebody goes, say, damn, bro, what the fuck you been, man? You been using some skin lightening cream? No, fool, I've been jailed. Yeah, motherfucker.
Yep. This girl I knew, she went to jail and came back, man. I was like, wow, I didn't know you was this light. I said, you need to get out in the sun, girl. They took all your color from you. She was locked up for a couple years, like you said. Her skin, man, got so light and pale. And she's a chocolate Puerto Rican and black girl. And she had a nice, beautiful complexion. But when she went and got locked up, man, she was like, she was a totally different color. Much lighter.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit is crazy. Ain't it just some things you're just throwing out, man? Hey, you know, hey, it's, I don't know. I ain't telling nobody to go do it. I ain't trying to do it. Hell to the no. I'm not trying to do it. But I know what I want.
I think Alpha Male might try it.
Oh, no,
Alpha Male probably try it.
You know, goddamn well, Alpha Male ain't going.
Oh, he ain't going to try it. He might.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
He might be some benefits for him.
Uh-oh. You know, damn well,
he ain't going. Might be able to get closer to Suzette.
You might get David Israel quicker than you get Alpha Male. Yeah. Oh,
I'm just playing, Alpha Male. I'm just joking, bro. I'm getting mad.
Yes, sir. Hey, no, you see this thing about this corona? Well, going back to coronavirus, right? Going back to this vaccine. I seen this thing. I don't know how true it is, y'all. It was a video where his brother had supposedly got a shot. Took the vaccine, and he got a stud meter. You know, brother in construction use it, I guess, to find the studs in the wall, and I guess some metal that's in the wall so they can know how to nail it. And he used that. He was using that meter and he put it up to his arm, and the damn thing was going off. Well, when he got the shit, he put it up to his arm, and the damn thing was going off, man. Yeah.
Well, get out of here.
I'm like, damn. And then, but, you know, somebody else said they seen some more people were saying they did that same test. I was like, damn.
And the same thing happened? The same thing happened to them, too?
Same thing happened. I'm like, whoa. And my good brother sent me a video.
A lot of time I just say, good brother, y'all, I don't want to put everybody's video out on some things that get sent. I don't want to put no names to it. So real brother sent me some, and he was talking about what's going on. And I've saw this before. I didn't see it personally, but I saw some things out on the internet. People was showing this, how they wondering, okay, here, I'm going to pull this article right fast. It says a Texas doctor is trying to figure out why COVID-19 patients are growing massive size tongues. Have y'all seen that before? People tongues swelling up and they can't even close their mouth. Man, that's...
No, man.
Yeah, I'm looking at the video. I mean, not the video, the picture. Yeah, they wondering why. I'm telling you, man, it's so many effects.
Disturbed.
And then I've seen, and think about this. Johnson & Johnson, a company who have had so many goddamn lawsuits, still owe, I don't know, probably billions. I don't know the number now. So much money in lawsuits. Y'all remember that powder, right? Causing cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And here it is. Y'all going to trust Johnson & Johnson to give you a freaking vaccine where they got all of this lawsuit for cancer because of powder?
Right.
We were with, oh, man, come on, bro. They you know, people make mistakes. They change. Okay. They make mistakes, right? They change, right? Why is it that then, soon they come out with the vaccine, they come out and start saying they're giving people blood clots. And now they're telling you, remember, they stopped it. They stopped people
they
from
stopped
taking
it. They stopped it.
And then they came right back and said, oh, okay, well, y'all can go ahead and go. You can go ahead and take it. Y'all crazy.
Only six died.
Only. And that's probably a lot. And the thing about it is what, again, they are giving you some protein and they're giving you the coronavirus. That's why you're getting this shit, because it was stated that some people had the blood clots I've heard before the vaccine, just from the coronavirus itself. So why was the coronavirus itself, the reason the coronavirus was giving you that, and then here turn around Johnson & Johnson things. See, what are they using in there? What are they using in their vaccines that's making you have the blood clots? Pfizer them are not using. We all know they're probably using different chemicals or something like, maybe to that degree. What are they using in their thing? So I hadn't heard anything about the Pfizer. I don't know if it's the Pfizer still that maybe the people with their tongues hanging out. What vaccines are they using that's making their tongues and stuff hang out and a lot of other stuff? And a lot of people, I think, they was, you know, getting sick behind all of this type of stuff. And here's the trip part. They're talking about right now. Here's what they're going to get. They're trying to get people with on the slick. Y'all better pay attention. Now, this would the COVID-19 passports and all this shit going to come in at. Listen, pay attention to what they're doing. Now they're saying if you're fully vaccinated, you can go anywhere you want to damn near. You don't have to wear a mask. You don't have to do this. You fully vaccinated. Thing is, how do that everybody's fully vaccinated if you're not checking? And you don't have an ID or anybody checking you. You walk into Walmart or all these places now, or hell, a basketball game, and you ain't checked. How do you know if this person is vaccinated? He ain't got no mask on. You're like, well, shit, because that's what they're trying to say. Well, a lot of people just can walk around, just take his mask off. How do they know I'm vaccinated? See, that's what bullshit is gonna come in and say, because that's what they're throwing out like that too, and that people ain't gonna act like. So, go ahead.
No, on the same note, I heard that if you wasn't vaccinated, that you should keep your mask on when you go places. But if
that's
you wasn't,
true.
Yeah, so that's what they said. But then I'm hearing again, if you were vaccinated and you still remove your mask, you still can catch the coronavirus.
That's true. That's always been the thing. You know, okay. But check this out, brother. So that means we got to have a... Now, wait a minute. Come on now. So you mean to tell me we trust people now? We honestly trust people to be genuine and be true. you vaccinate. Ain't nobody got no way to check it. So, hey, if y'all been fully vaccinated, y'all can take y'all masks off. But, whoa. If y'all ain't been vaccinated, y'all leave y'all masks on. So you mean to tell me we really think everybody's going to be truly honest? When hell, when they was telling people to put masks on, people like, we ain't put no goddamn masks on. You got me messed up. So now all of a sudden, we going to really trust them? See,
that's
go ahead. But that's the bullshit it is. That's when the card going to come in at.
After you go get your vaccine shot, then you get your second shot, then the people that I've been around, right after they've gotten their second shot, and it's been a lot of people, I just end up next to them or near them, hearing them talk about what's going on and how much pain they're in and how bad their shoulder hurts. So there's many people who say that same thing. All right, so once you take the shot, you go home, you're around everybody at your crib, you go to the store. Now they're telling you take your mask off. You just had your shot a few days ago. Oh, you can take your mask off. You go places, you might bust a sneeze out. If you do, you are a super spreader because you have a vaccine that you just took that has this coronavirus stuff in it. So you're going to be spreading coronavirus after you take a shot, or you're going to be spreading germs. Don't put it that way. You're going to be spreading, and people can catch whatever you got. So you become a super spreader after you take that second shot or the shots, whatever it is. That's my only point. Go ahead, sir.
Good point. And like you said, what is the benefit, though? Like you said, well, I know the benefit. You're not going to get as sick. But like you said, they're telling you, you still can get the virus. Now, my thing, okay. But you're not going to get as sick. My thing is, if you're going to tell me to get the vaccine, it means that it's going to stop you from getting it. Point blank, period. If you got the vaccine, and you ain't going to get sick. That shit ain't going to, man. It's going to be like a force field. It cannot penetrate your system at all. Don't tell me, well, you're going to get it, but, you know, you're still going to have probably runny nose, lit fever, but you're not going to get it sick to the degree that you're going to be feel like you're about to die and going to be on the ventilator. No, you're not going to get it. Hey, man,
somebody took the vaccine, and a week later, they tested positive for coronavirus.
Because why? They giving you, injecting you, because that's how they're telling you is building your immune system up. They put it in you, so when you run across it again, you're like, oh, okay, I seen this before. Your body was like, oh, I seen this before. Oh, shit, I got it in my system. Oh, this corona. It's the other me. I know what this is.
Basically, you're injecting some foreign things in your body. You don't even have no idea what's going on. There's all kinds of things going on that they're doing. You don't even have a clue what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's all what they call micro nanotechnology,
mm-hmm.
which is some very small stuff you can't even see with the naked eye at all. And you got to have a super microscope to see nano particles in the vaccine that's going to flow throughout your body and do different things and have different jobs to do.
And look at those syringes. All of those syringes, like they specially made, everywhere I've seen, they've shown these syringes. It's not like the other syringes you've been seeing. It's like all of these syringes all over the United States, they show it, are a different type of syringe than the regular syringe you might just go if you got diabetes, your diabetic syringes. They're
mm-hmm.
totally different. They're totally different.
Hey,
are there
any callers on the line somewhere?
Nah, ain't nobody can. Well,
how about giving out the phone number?
They went out, so we still got 20 minutes, so everybody probably listening in.
You could give out the phone number.
So, yeah. So, I guess anybody want to call in, and we did have a call earlier, but he hung up. I was trying to get the show started. So, yeah, we got it 503. Y'all want to come in with anything y'all can talk about? Y'all ain't going to talk about what we're talking about. Just come on in here at 563-3935-52. One more time, y'all. Come on in here and chime in, man. Tell them what y'all got going on. Might be anything. That's 563-39-999.
Yes, sir. You don't like saying it. I'll say it for you. 999-35. What's the rest?
Hold tight, bro. God damn, we got a fucking war zone out here, man. These must don't let off about 20 rounds, brother. Man, I'm going to have to get
your house?
Somewhere. No, I ain't run out, but it's close.
Okay.
Well, I tell you, man. Well, you know
Memorial Day right around the corner, so it's probably them fireworks, man.
Nah, them gunshots there, Jack. Them Negroes killing Negroes. Black on black crime. Yep.
Well, that's allegedly. Allegedly.
Nah, that ain't alleged. That's a facto. That is a facto. It's like a man. Where I'm at over here, brother. It's been like they having a turf war, a gang drug war going on around here. So, now that is a fact. It's happened damn near every day. That was a video. We talk about something else. We talk about the coronavirus. I be looking at different stuff on YouTube, just going through stuff, and I be checking out the weather pattern. I don't know if y'all want to check out the. Y'all be checking out these weather patterns, man, and keep your eye open. Now, for me to, you know, study the Bible tonight, even though I'm Elijah Muhammad, you talk about certain things about divine chastisement. Y'all know about a man used rain, sleet, snow, and hail to chastise and stuff like that. And
that's right.
True. So
that
you
right.
Look at him.
He did it real good last year in Texas.
Yeah, and Louisiana right now is getting it. Peace to our family down there, and all the brothers and sisters, everybody down in Louisiana, man. Hope y'all are safe down there. They getting hit with massive floods. I seen some part of Mexico, flooded out. But one thing I was looking at, so you talk about the coronavirus, Wuhan, China, again, a major natural, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but getting a major natural ass whooping right now. Now, and I say that because
what's going on over there, Sunray?
Yes, they say that the coronavirus came from out of that lab in Wuhan. You know, Trump said that.
Yeah, I know about all that,
man, bro. I seen just the videos they showing over there. They getting tornadoes. They getting so many massive. They getting tornadoes. They getting massive hailstorms. They even been flooded. They've been showing buildings been falling down because of these storms. Oh, bro.
Yeah, trying to clean it up, man, for real.
It's been cut.
You know what they do over there? You know what they do over there?
What's that?
They have markets where they go out and buy dried animals, a dried-up dog, a dried-up cat, dried-up bats, dried-up other kind of animals. Pets that they put all in cages, and then people go to the market and buy them, and then they eat them. They eat these animals. And so the Creator is not pleased with people acting like savages and people who don't got good sense. You know where you should be eating a dog or a cat or bats and stuff. And then that causes all kinds of diseases. And then y'all want to travel all over the place and then sneeze on somebody and bring all them germs from eating animals with you. And then that stuff is contagious. And then they jump off on other people. That's where the coronavirus really came from, because they eat all these crazy things. They eat bats and dogs, big dogs, little dogs, tall, small.
Better be careful. They're going to get you with that hate crime.
It's nasty, man. It's real sick to do that. So, I mean, it's really, and they just do it like it ain't nothing. They have a whole market of this thing, and then people coming up there buying a dead dog so they can go home and cook it and eat it. Come on now. Where they do that at?
China.
We don't do that nowhere around here.
But that's consistent, though. That's part of their culture.
But that's uncivilized.
Hey, well,
and that's why the Creator is punishing them with the storms, because he's gonna flood them out, dry them up, and just get rid of all that stuff. You know, with the storms and everything. Let's get rid of all that.
Well, I wouldn't say this is my personal opinion. I wouldn't say nature or the creator will chastise them because of what they're eating. I know that sound unusual for me saying that because this wasn't the Torah. You're not supposed to eat this. You're not supposed to eat that. But I wouldn't say that because even there's a pause even in the Holy Quran. I speak about the Quran as well. It will tell you, you know, because they're supposed to keep the same dietary laws as the children of Israel, right? Trying to follow, don't eat the pork. And all that. But right. Even in this part in the Holy Quran, it even tells you, don't be a fool. Now, if you was in a place, right, and you were starving, nothing else around, and there's a fat-ass pork chop sandwich right there, but you're not supposed to eat pork, and there's nothing else that you can eat, don't be no fool and die and starve to death. Eat that right. Damn pork chop sandwich until you are able to get somewhere.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And eat all that. That's all you got in your bag, man. Some pork, beef jerkies in your bag, and you don't got crap on somewhere. Hey, man, you better eat them goddamn beef jerkies. So the thing here is, and I know, see, it that would be, now we wouldn't probably eat dogs or cats and bats because that's not our delicatessen. That's not something that we like, that we deal with. That's not a part of our culture. But over there, it may be. So, and we might say that's uncivilized because, you know, for us, yeah, it may be uncivilized. But them, that's their part of their tradition, their culture. I mean, hey, that's their, what they eat. It's just like we over here, we eat, what's that, spaghetti. What they say that come from? That's an Italian dish. We'll eat that spaghetti and love spaghetti, but I know that's not a dog or nut. It's like other things. Some people might say, what do we eat over here? Okay, I got it. Perfect.
You eat cow, if you eat, you eat pigs, you eat chicken.
Go to some parts of India and eat it. Go to some parts of India and try to come out and ask for a hamburger. Go over there and try to ask for a hamburger. They probably lock your ass up. You're killing that sacred cow. You ain't even eat this sacred cow. No, we don't eat. No, we don't eat beef over here. We don't eat cows. You know what I'm saying? That's our deity, whatever. Now, like I said again,
sorry. I
don't eat.
I went into the. I went into the but Indian restaurant.
Yeah.
I went in the Indian restaurant. This young guy was in there working as an Indian food restaurant. So he says he's 19. I asked, how old are you? I'm 19. And so I ordered a veggie sandwich and whatnot. And he told me, he said he's never eaten meat. I said, wow, okay, man. I said, you know, I stopped eating meat a long time ago. I said, that's cool. He said, yeah, we don't eat meat in, from where, you know, the part of India that he's from. They don't eat any meat. And so he don't eat meat. So you're right on the cow, the sacred cow, and that. I mean, it's part of, like, certain customs of other people. Look how close India is to China. And look how the Indians act civil and have a civil diet where they eat real clean and real righteously. Like, their food is really done well. It's like a cuisine. Every time you eat Indian food, it's a cuisine. No matter what, even they got the kind where they serve meat to people who eat meat, and it's done so well, you know, it's just really done very well, however they do it. But you go over to China right next door, they eating daggone the pet that used to walk the street, and you had them on a leash, but you ain't got no money. You're going to go take this pet and get $30 at the market for them so you can have $30, and you're going to kill it and have somebody buy it. And then you keep doing that. You going home and having this dog have sex with this dog, and now you got 8 puppies. You rushing them to the market. These little puppies now is being eaten by somebody because, you know, it's just a uncivilized way of living and way of thinking on, you know, making sure you have a good diet and you're not violating your body and the laws of the Creator. You know, to give you the natural laws, to give you common sense or good sense, to know you should eat a bat, something that fly that's filthy and nasty, and a dog.
Okay. What would be the difference
ahead.
Without? I mean, what's the difference between eating a bat and a chicken?
There's a whole lot of difference because there's so much disease inside of a bat.
America eat rattlesnakes. They eat possums. That's nasty too,
and that's not civilized either.
So what was that?
When you have an alternative, you do have an alternative. You should not have to eat a rattlesnake or a possum. That's just something that you do because you don't really think. You're not thinking of a good diet for your body. You're thinking of just settling a certain fleshly need that you want to have to make you feel good. But other than that, that's not civilized to eat that.
Now, here's something that, okay, like a lot of people over here in America, they eat steaks, right? And they eat the damn steak, blood running out of it and all. And then a lot of black folk love steak, too. Now, some people are like, hey, man, like me, I don't like steaks. I do not deal with steaks. Hell no, y'all can have it. And especially medium, raw, however, I don't even want it burnt.
Medium rare.
Yeah,
you
I don't
want
like
medium it. Raw? Oh, my goodness. That ain't even cooked.
I'm just saying, yeah, I don't like steaks, point blank, period. I don't like them. But it ain't, you know, you got to have a little blood. Here's
the
little,
that's what you call rare, and then the blood's running through it, and then, you know, you can eat the blood and mix it with your rice.
Ah, but we don't say that's uncivilized.
It
we
is
don't call
uncivilized,
it uncivilized,
but I do.
A lot of people eat it. They say, hey, man, but check this out. Now, here's something here in the Tanakh, right, or in the Torah. We go to the book of Leviticus in the law dealing with the dietary. The book of, now this law is dealing with social order and food as well. But the book of Leviticus, right, 19 and 26, straight this clear point. It says, ye shall not eat anything with blood. You shall not eat anything with blood in it. And that's true. You shouldn't eat. If you got blood still running out of it, you're not supposed to then take that and put that into your mouth. We don't like that. Now, people talk about the Bible. Now, that's from the African tradition. Now, because I told y'all, man, it's like these African traditions you used to look at the Bible. Said, don't eat anything blood running out of it. You don't eat that like that. But that's the tradition. That here in America, one thing.
Where do we get that from, Son Ray Nine? Where do we get that from?
What's that?
That tradition or that custom of eating a rare steak with blood running through it. Where do we learn that from?
From, you know who we got it. Captain Caveman.
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Uncle Bungo. Yeah. Now, I don't know. Yeah, probably. I mean, hey, I took up Courtney Rock class, right?
Uh-huh.
But some reason, you know, cooking, y'all. I'm just be telling y'all. I just took a class. And an old funk-ass chef, excuse my French. You know, we was cooking, what was it we was cooking? It wasn't steaks. It was some steaks and something else we was cooking. It had to be blood running out of it. And he made the damn old, now, I guess this is a racist statement for real. This is not pork chops. You don't cook these like you do pork chops. And, you know what he was trying to say, talking to us. You know, black folk love pork chops. We cook these. You don't cook these like you cooking pork chops. Yeah, I'm like, man, yeah. So we had to have the blood and all that. You cut it, the blood running. Man, it's like almost if the animal, just like the cow would have fell down on the ground, I might have just gone, as soon as he fell down, just gone bite the goddamn cow, just like that. Just gonna eat them raw. Just like ain't no use to put no heat on it a little bit. You just gonna eat them just like that. Just because that's what you basically doing. You do not eat because that right there is unnatural. Because like you said now about the bats and all of that. Because now I agree with because the bats and stuff they got rabies and a lot of other stuff like that pertaining to the bats and stuff. Even dogs sometimes have rabies. That's why you have to get their rabies shots. When they get to a certain age. But even with that, blood, it's blood, man, like the a lot of germs in the blood, parasites that's in that blood. And when you eating that damn steak raw like that, you're intaking that germ. That's why they tell you to cook your food thoroughly, to cook out those impurities, cook out those parasites by that heat, and it's supposed to kill those things. But you got a damn, you barely put a heat on it, just leave it, it's all pink. Nah, that's not right. It is not, And it's like for your health reasons. That's why a lot of stuff that's in the Bible, y'all see a lot of dietary laws and things that's in the Bible. And you think, man, well, this God, that's strict, man. He don't want you to eat it down. Why he don't want you to? It's because of health reasons. You wonder why a lot of people running around here sick, about to pass out. You got diabetes. You got this. You got that. Your cholesterols. It's because of certain things you eating. And you just think, man, God of the Bible just being strict, he don't want you to eat it. Or he or she, hell, y'all clearly. There's a lot of things that's been in there to help you to sustain your life. That's why we call it Torah, or the Torah means the laws, or some people say the laws, the teaching of instruction. Is instructions to help you maintain this, what you may say, this avatar, this physical body while you are here. So yes, it's a lot of stuff to tell you about the intakes. Don't eat pork. Don't eat what's them damn thing? I don't eat no more. I didn't eat them, brother, because I didn't really like shrimp, because what they call them, bottom feeders. And
scavengers.
Yeah, scavengers. I don't eat shrimp because they eat anything, like a hog. Eat anything. They said like a hog will eat a damn rattlesnake, and you'll turn around and eat that damn rattlesnake. And poison is that snake can be, and you will eat that. And you turn around
my
and you ingesting whatever he's ingesting. But go ahead, brother.
My friend used to make this catfish, and he would put barbecue sauce on it after he finished cooking and everything, and I'd eat it, and it was so good. But this was before I had knowledge itself. So after knowledge itself and everything, I stopped eating catfish, and I just eat the kind of fish that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would say that was good for you to eat instead of just eating anything. And I recognize that the flounder fish is a scavenger fish. I used to eat the flounder, man, back in the day. When I got to New York, I would go to the store, to the restaurant, and order some fried flounder with the French fries. And so I'd go home and eat it to my father's house. And then after I ate it, my stomach would feel funny. Every time, I ain't recognize this, but just after enough times, I started picking up on it. But what happened was, after I ate the fish, because they give you three pieces, and I probably ate all three. And so after I ate it, it felt like something was moving around in my stomach. It felt like the fish wasn't quite dead or something. I wasn't, you know, it just felt like something kept moving around in my stomach. And so after not eating that type of fish anymore and eating like whiting or porgies or some type of a bluefish or whatever they got, some kind of good fish, then I wouldn't have that kind of feel or wouldn't feel that type of way. But I think because that fish is a scavenger, it might have made my stomach feel creepy like that. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad put himself through several tests using food in order to write the How to Eat to Live books, book 1 and 2. So he would remember what he was taught by Farad, and he would gather the information from what he was taught from him and to make sure or to see whether it was true, he would try it on himself. So if Farad told him something wasn't good or something would do something to you a certain way or make you feel a certain way, he would give himself a chance and go through that experience and then find out what he said was true. So he did that as he wrote those books, and he mentioned how he put himself to the test for us in order for us to know some of these foods that we shouldn't be eating. He talked a lot about some of the grafted foods, the foods that are grafted and that are not natural or weren't made by the Creator and were made by man. And he would say to stay away from those ones. And one that I can recall is the grapefruit is a grafted fruit that, you know, you shouldn't mess with. It's poison, something like that.
it's been a while since I even looked inside those books, and I don't have one currently because every time I lend one out, it never gets back to me. So I got to buy another couple of books about how to eat to live. But, yeah, he put himself through a lot of tests for the people by using himself and his body as the test model for whether if he said that potatoes are no good for you to eat, like white potatoes. They don't offer you anything of any substance. They only offer fat, and there's no nutrition involved in them. And they're really made for other animals or a different type of a beast that would eat these kind of things that would be good for him when he would have no problem with it. So he would frown on those white potatoes and white rice because it's bleached out. And he said, well, if you're going to eat the rice, you get some brown rice. And he would mention that the only bean that is the best, well, he would say the best bean to eat is the navy bean. That's the best bean. That's the most nutritious for you to eat. So he's just, he laid it all out there in those books. And you can continue on, my brother, what you were saying.
I'm just going to throw out right fast. We got 3 minutes left, live left in the show. You want to go into overtime with us, you can call in and join the overtime show. One more time, y'all, that number is 563-39999. Justice would say 3553. You call
it.
I'm
afraid of the nine.
Yes, sir.
It's about the nine. Before the nine elements.
That's nine to the ninth power of nine. That's our number, man, most definitely. I thank Vlog Talk for giving me that number. Nine to the ninth power of nine. Yeah, that's what it is. That afro or that kingly number.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man. Like I said, the diet is real. And I was listening to some brothers that was having a build or a class they was talking about. I think they was on the street having a street class, and they were just talking about the foods, and they were just talking about how not only probably they would look at maybe how they might try to kill us, just say like police shooting you down and other things. But the most way they're killing us is through our food, the food that happens so-called in the black communities. You have stores, and I know, like, some people, you can't go to, like, Whole Foods and buy some of this, that expensive. Some things be expensive. You can't afford to go and buy a whole bunch of things if you're on a fixed income. So they will put certain stores in our neighborhood, like, I don't know if this is in everybody in certain cities. I'm just calling them out anyway. Something like a Save-A-Lot. You got Super Lowe's and stores like that. And certain things they put in your neighborhood is full of preservative, artificial this and, just made up, grafted, like you said, brother, just shit made out of cardboard and this, that, and another in our communities. And we wonder why. They say a lot about people in the black community, we are the most unhealthy people in the community, and there's a lot of stuff that what we're digesting and what we're intaking, and a lot of it is, man, you think you might be eating it, but it's like the type of food that maybe all of you can afford to buy. You know what I'm saying? You can't, like I said, go to Whole Foods and buy out and pay out all the food. It's organic, and a lot of this shit they call organic ain't truly organic, as they say. But so it's a lot of stuff that they're killing us by what we're intaking, man. We don't know. And so
would you believe that in the hood here that a vast majority of what people eat is the Chinese food from the Chinese restaurant?
Damn.
You know how unhealthy that is all the time? That's all you eat every day?
Ramen noodles?
That's basically. No, it's worse. Worse than that. Because, first of all right, you ordering wings and some, what do you put with that? You get some rice or some French fries or something, right? So that's all greasy and not really healthy. And then somebody wants they want some beef this or that, or they want the pork fried this or that. And this is every day. And so this is going into your body, going into your mind, going into your attitude, going into your way of thinking. If you're eating unhealthy food, fried foods, foods you don't really even know what it is, it might say beef this or that, or it might say chicken this or that, but you don't even really know if that's what you really eat. And then if it is something other than what you thought you was ordering, how is that affecting you? How is that feeling thing? Then you got the blue drink with, you know, the homemade blue drink. That's the blue dyes that's in this drink. Then they got the orange drink. That's the homemade one from the Chinese store. And they put it in a container and put it, you know, with a top on it, like you can see through it. And then they got the other colored drinks that people come in there and buy. And all of that is contamination. So when you drink these drinks, you're contaminating your body with blue dye, red dye, yellow number 40, yellow number 5, red 40, blue lake, and then blue number 6, and these other number dyes and colors and stuff that you contaminating yourself with. And it does have an effect on you. All kinds of ways, your attitude, and your overall health, and the way in which how you interact with people. If they're doing the same thing, creates a certain uneasiness to a person when they're not eating a healthy diet all the time. Because as soon as a conflict of interest happens or two people start arguing about something, they immediately take it too far. Instead of trying to talk it out, they are already ready to go at war. And a lot of that comes from putting in your body that makes you feel a certain way and react a certain way, think a certain way, and behave a certain way. Because if all you're constantly doing is eating something that you don't really know what it is, and it's dead, and it's death, and you're putting this dead death in your body, and it should have been buried underground after it died, but you'd rather eat it. Usually you bury stuff or something that lives, you bury it after it lives under the ground. You know, after it died, put it in your mouth and then swallow it and put it in your body. You're not supposed to anyway. Well, that's what we seem to do. But you're eating all of these dead products, and it affects your body and it affects your mind a certain way, to make you act on the level of an animal when you're constantly eating animals who didn't choose to live or come, or at least choose to die the way that they die, about their life the way that they could have and more than likely should have come in a meal to somebody. And it was just left alone. So most people wouldn't go out and kill any animals on their own and to survive. They would rather do something different, because a lot of people don't have a killing bone in their body for an animal. A lot of people, they wouldn't kill a cow or even a pig, or a lot of people wouldn't even kill a chicken to survive and eat, because it would be gross for them. It would be something like, wow, I had to actually kill this thing, and after that, what do I have to do? All right, I got the cow, and I knocked him down, and I done stabbed him over and over again in his neck area, and it's laying down here. All right, I did what I'm supposed to do. Now what? Okay, I got this big cow out here. Nobody else out here to help me. I got to survive. I'm going to eat. What do I do next? And you're looking at this dead animal that you killed right there on the ground, and you're trying to figure out what you're supposed to do next. All right, you figure out something. All right, well, I guess I got to cut some of this body off here. I got to cut this area in the back here or side, maybe some beef in there and all like that. So you do your thing, you cut it, and now what you got? You cut a big square of meat, a big piece, and now you got this big animal laying out there. What are you going to do with the rest of that animal? You got you a piece of meat now, though. Now, what you about to do with that piece of meat? You got a whole animal out here on the ground. You got a big piece of meat in your hand. What's next? I'm just saying. Like, what are we thinking here? That's something that you wouldn't even do on your own. Not many people are going to go kill a cow to have a hamburger. They're not just going to do this. They're going to let somebody else's sin become their sin. Because that's a sin to kill something. And then you're eating something that somebody is really, what they would say, capitalizing off your ignorance and selling you something that they killed, and now you eating it, and you would have never even killed it in the first place because you'd be too scared to and wouldn't know what to do after you killed it.
Oh, just run that back. You say it's a sin to kill something? Kill something to eat or just...
Like what I just said, you just need a piece of meat, and you killed a whole animal, and all you're going to do is get that big piece of meat you cut out of his body. Now what happens? You're just going to leave that big animal who had a greater purpose than you coming along and seeing him, and you hungry, and you just killed this poor cow, and now the cow's laid out there. Meanwhile, the next day, he had all this milk that you could have milked this cow and got all this milk from the cow. And you could have stored the milk in bottles and then went and had it processed or whatever. You know how they repasteurize it. And then after you finished milking that cow, you could have went out into the field and put a plow on the back of the cow and then had the cow go forward as you planted some seeds with the cow. And then you could have been eating off some of the stalks of corn out there, eating either the leaves of the corn or eating some of the corn for your survival purposes, or reach down and grab some tomatoes or something out there that you've been growing, or some cucumbers and stuff and different things you've been growing out in your garden to survive and not have to kill anything for survival, because the thing that you kill could be something that could be the greatest thing that can help you for your life and to help you to sustain life and to eat and to keep eating and to make sure that animal is taken care of and to make sure that nothing happens to it, because this is the best thing that you have. This cow is sacred. This is a cow that helps. This cow has this milk and it can put the plow on. He can pull a big plow while I'm planting seeds and stuff. And he can chill over there and eat all this grass and keep down keep all the grass down out there so it won't be all high up in the, you can't see out in the field. Now he keeps the field clean and everything. There's a whole lot of purpose. Instead of you eating, coming along, you hungry one day, you kill him, you don't even know what to do with the daggone thing. Now you done messed up everything because of your selfishness.
So you and your family hungry, so this cow is whatever, the only thing that's there, you need meat, whatever. So
you don't need meat. You can eat grass just like the cow did. He got the same kind of teeth you got. He got the same kind of digestive system that you have. He lives off of eating herbs and vegetation. You can live the same way. All you got to do is put your neck down there on the ground like he did and eat some grass. And I bet you're going to live. But make sure you get some water to flush it down with. Other than that, that's all the cow do. He ain't looking for no meat. The cow ain't thinking about no sandwich or no beef or no pork or no chicken or no goat. He ain't thinking about that stuff. That ain't on his mind. Only thing on his mind is eating something that he want to eat. He got the same kind of teeth you got. He don't got no big fangs. He got the same kind of teeth. The same type. You look in his mouth and you look in my mouth, we got the same type of teeth. Therefore, we ain't supposed to be eating nothing that's a big animal that you got to kill with your own teeth and bite down on and eat right away. What animal go and cook some food? No. If it's an animal that eat meat, he go and eat that thing up right away. He
Come on, brother.
Hold on.
Now, we got to be a little more. See, now we trying to be too technical. What animal go and cook food? Now, we know damn well we ain't the same as that animal. when we cook food.
That's
another
my point.
He's not the animal. That animal is way different from us. Maybe that's why he's custom designed for. I mean, I'm just saying, the custom designed that he eat natural. You know, like deer, they go out and eat. That's what they did.
Same teeth as a deer.
Off the vegetation of the land. But you do have animals that do eat meat. Like, you do have animals that eat other animals.
You
got buzzards. Buzzards and vultures go around and eat dead other dead animals and things. They eat meat.
They eat animals so fast.
But that's what he's designed to do. He's basically he's the cleanup individual.
We're not.
But still, again, who's to say that? See, like I hear like people be talking about, well, we're supposed to be vegans, and I don't know. I ain't getting too deep into that conversation about the food and this like that. But people like say, well, when we meet, and I heard a lot of people ask, well, where you getting your protein from? Because if you're not eating the meat, what are you getting your protein from? See, even
from
where
all
I think
kinds of sources,
which is the protein shake, would
come
be
from your vegetables. Proteins come right direct from vegetables.
Okay, but how do you know we're supposed to just be eating vegetables? How do you know that? Okay.
You can eat more than just
everything
vegetables.
Everything is life. Everything is life. If we want to get technical, everything is life. A plant is life. It's a life form. It's a life germ. It comes from a life germ. It is life. Don't it start off as a seed. It start off as something that grows and it sprouts. It grows. It's living. It's a living thing, right? Because it's growing. And it's life. And when you cut
it
down.
It was made for you to do that by the creator. That's what he intended for you to do. He said, let the fruit be your meat. Right there in Genesis. Let the fruit be your meat.
You don't want to go to the Bible, because then now you just killed your own self. You want to go to the Bible,
go
you
ahead,
kill your own
go ahead.
Self.
No,
I'm saying it. That's why I said you don't go to the Bible now, because you're gonna kill your own self about eating meat, because it tells you about you can eat lamb, you can eat goat. It tells you they gotta kill, but there's a way that you do it. Even when you kill that lamb, there's
in
a
that Bible.
Every way that you even do it. Like, we get animals go to a slaughterhouse. That's what I'm going to get into. We get animals go to a slaughterhouse. You know you're not supposed to kill an animal when he's in fear? If that animal's terrified, know you're finna kill him, he's in fear, you're not supposed to just kill it. You're supposed to almost like you calm the animal down, and just then, you know.
If you do, what happens? If you do, then what happens?
But now I'm just saying, they say you're not supposed to do that. Don't kill an animal when he's startled or in fear like that. You know, that's why when they finish.
Because the enzyme gets released from the animal. Can I say it somewhere?
Go ahead.
A fear enzyme gets released in a scared animal when he knows he's about to be dead or get killed, right? And so the enzyme is something like a protectant for himself or his body or his spirit. And it's released right before he's killed. So it's like, and he's killed. So he just released this fear enzyme. And so the enzyme is in the body of the deceased. And now whatever you're doing with the body, the enzyme is all throughout the body. So by the time you get it to your plate and you stab it with your fork and eat it, that fear enzyme is being eaten. And the fear enzyme goes into you. And now you have some other kind of ways of feeling after you get through eating this thing. You ever ate something, and then after you finish eating, you think, man, I feel different. I don't feel like I did right before I ate this. You ever feel that way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was the fear enzyme.
But let's go back to something you were talking about, not killing the cow. Okay. Now, let's go back. Damn, let's just think about like the caveman and shit like that. Now, it's cold as hell outside. It's cold on a motherfucker. Now, they had animals out there. Now, they got this big-ass buffalo they seen out there. Now, that buffalo, we can't kill him. We ain't going to kill that buffalo. We hungry as hell. Then we freezing out there. We butt-ass naked. And somebody had that idea. You know what? There's a lot of stuff we can get out of that buffalo. We can get meat. And we can get clothing out of it. So they killed them, got the meat, and they made clothing out of it and shelter. And shelter, use it for the tops or the tents or whatever. So they got a lot of things out of it. So you might have more than one cow or whatever to do what you're talking about doing. You have probably one. You use it for your meat. You have another one probably over here that you can use for, like, the milk. You got another one that you just use it for whatever you do, the plowing, whatever.
Plow.
You use different sources that you use it for. You're just not going to get it just for that damn meat. You're going to have it for different sources. So, but again, yeah. I mean, but thing about it, like even with the plant life, so we really want to get technical. Well, we need to stop eating plants then, because plant is a life form. It's a life journey. It's life. Everything is life. Everything has life in it.
That's the right kind of life, though. That's the right kind of life.
But you took that life.
That's the life for you.
You plucked it up out of the ground. You stopped it from growing. You killed that plant. You took its life.
No.
Yes, you did. Like I said, if you want to be technical, when you pull it up by its roots and pull it out of the ground, and I'm just putting this in another way. It's like your veins in your body where the blood flows through your veins. The roots that's in the ground from that plant, that's the veins. Water gets through those roots and come into the plant, and it's just like the blood flowing through your veins. But once you plucked it up out of the ground from the soil, you cut the roots. You cut its veins. So you person try to commit suicide.
No.
When a person try to commit suicide, what do they do? They slit their wrist. What are they slicing?
No.
They're cutting their veins.
No,
so you're doing the same thing to a
plant.
I know you don't want to get technical, but you know you're talking to Brother Sun Ray here. You're talking to Coach of Freedom Radio. We get technical around here sometime. When you think about it, as my brother LJ would say, you're doing the knowledge, brother. You got to do the knowledge and just think about it. So we talk about one thing, and we taking one thing, life. Hell, be technical. We taking everything, life. And I got
any flesh.
I got
any flesh around that plant.
It's life. It's a life, brother.
Any blood in that plant?
That's another. Nah. It's just like saying, if you kill I can kill a black person, but I better not kill a white person. Or I better not kill this person.
We both bleed the same blood.
It's a life. It's life. So now you nickpicking on which life you
choose. A plant is food.
It's life.
It's life and it's food.
That damn animal is food. The damn dog.
The dog and the cat and the bat. That's food.
The chicken is food. I tell you what. Get caught on that damn deserted island and get stuck out there somewhere. And see how you survive. Man,
I
want
some grass. I will be eating grass till they come get me.
And if it sustains you, if you want to be a whatever, non-meat eater, hey, do what you got to do. I'm eating.
I will eat plants. I will eat the leaves off the trees. I will eat things that look like they're going to hurt
survive,
me.
They teach you. I've learned it. If you out in survival, excuse me, and you out there, man, you eat whatever, catch a goddamn grasshopper, walls, you eat
not
that,
me.
Man. You,
I ain't,
you're gonna
I ain't
eat
uncivilized.
It's not about being
I'm
it's
not
survival.
No savage.
See, in that particular mode, who... You're talking about uncivilized. You out there by your goddamn self. You trying to survive. Oh, you know what? Like I said again, like even the Holy Quran, it tells you. Now, to tell the Muslim, do not eat. I got to reiterate that again. Don't eat pork. Don't eat pork. You're not supposed to eat pork. But it tells you, even in the Quran, it says Allah tell you, don't be no fool. Now, he just told you don't eat pork, but it's the reason why. But he tells you, don't be no damn fool. If you have nothing else, and it's in a living die situation, bruh, you better eat that damn pork chop. You ain't. I'm not finna destroy you. You ain't
Gregory
going to hell because you ain't no pork chop.
Dick Gregory. I don't think so. I'll fast.
Look for you
days.
A carrot. Keep looking for a carrot, Bugs Bunny, and die. Because if ain't no carrots around, ain't no goddamn. Ain't no.
I'll just drink water for 30 days.
You're a dead mother sucker, and you ain't survival.
Dick Gregory did it.
That's Dick Gregory. Dick Gregory had a choice. He didn't have to. That was a choice he made. That was a choice. But if he got hungry enough, he could have. But that was a choice. When you're in survival, and you're trying to survive and maintain. Now, that's survival. He was still a grocery store. He could have stopped at any freaking time he wanted to. He could have stopped at any freaking time. You know, I'm gonna go back to, you know, what it
is. Come on, Dick Gregory. Come on, man. Come on, eat something, man.
But that was a choice. That was a choice. But we talking about, but you know, we just talking about food. But hey, there's a lot of, but you know, but the life is life. And I go back. I was gonna say something, man. I go back to the master teacher, Dr. York had was saying one time, man. I remember it was a class he did, and he was talking about everything that we do. You know, people talking about the devil and stuff, right? And Satan. He broke it down, and we can get technical. I said, we can get technical on certain things. Basically, like, everything that you do is of the devil. Basically, walking, right? We said, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. He said, everything that you do is basically, and we'll look at, is of the devil. You say killing and murder is of the devil. And he broke it down sort of like this. Even when you're walking in your grass, you're killing something. Maybe the grass that you're walking on, you're tromping the grass down. You're killing microscopic organisms. You're stepping on ants. You don't know it. You're stepping on ants, crushing and killing ants. You're not intentionally doing it. You're just walking in the grass. You don't know the ants are there. You don't know these bugs are out there walking, and you're killing them. According to what we're thinking, you murdering these things. You thou shall not kill. That was murder. You just murdered that little ant. You just murdered that worm just minding this little old business. But that's what it's saying. If you really think on it, they're going to take it. Like you said again. Even when we're doing things, we look at this nature, right? They finna build a new subdivision. And he used the word, I like how he used the word he was talking about. We talk about like a child, like in school, they had like, said, we got to go out for recess, or we going out for recreation. And think about this word. He said recreation. So recreation, you think about, we just going to go out and have a little fun. It's a little play. It's recess time. We having a little recreation. But he said, you know, think about it. And you go out. Again, and when they get ready to make it a subdivision, what do? They wreck creation. They got to tear down all the trees to be able to clear out all of this. So they're wrecking creation by tearing down all the trees. That's oxygen right there. They just got rid of. There's a lot of other things.
Sorry, how about this?
Deers and everything live amongst these forests, and they just killed somebody else's home trying to build. So they are wrecking creation to so-called create something. You get it?
Yeah.
That's why you gotta have your master teacher who can think outside the box. Who think technical.
Yeah, okay, Mr. Outside the Box. All right, now you said, well, we both know this one. All right, so if I kill animal, that's death, right? Now you said the vegetables, if I pull it up, that's life. I pulled it up, and I got the life. I took the life. So that's life. Then there's death. So which one you want to eat? You want to eat the life or you death? Your choice.
Now, the reason I brought that out, and I came with it just like that, right, because you was talking about murdering the animal, and you was basically somewhat saying that it was a sin, basically. And again, now being technical, we going with biblical terminology because that's what people basically get sin and what they did with Bible, right? It wouldn't be a sin. Now, I can't say it's a sin because then again, you would have to know what is a sin. Sin, again, meaning to transgress, according to people said Bible, to sin or go against the laws and statutes or commandments of the Most High. Right? That's a sin when you do that. But if he told you, you can eat this cow, you can eat this, how are you sinning that he just told you can do that? You didn't go against that. So that wouldn't be a sin. So that's why I said just be technical on what sin is. And that's why I think a lot of people need to know, understand what is a sin according to the Bible, Tanakh, whatever, even his New Testament, whatever, what a sin is.
Okay, you a Bible man. You've been good.
Yeah, but what I brought up, I'm going to say this right fast, but what I brought up, it was Green that brought up about the thing, because you were just saying taking an animal's life is murder. That's a life. And I just brought up, that's why I said if we get technical about it, even since I know you probably don't eat meat, but even when you say just eat vegetables, that is a life, technically. Technically, that's why I brought that up. So whether you eat meat, you kill an animal, or whatever it is, you took his life, to eat to sustain your life. You, if we want to say that's murder, hey, that plant that you dug up and killed, that green, nice green, whatever it was.
That's not how vegetables work. It doesn't work the same way.
Why don't you eat it? Why don't you get ground and died in? Why you pluck it up from its root and then you eat it?
It comes up naturally. It's like a cherry or a grape.
It's not attached to the soil.
If you pull an apple off of a tree, you didn't kill the tree. You got the apple off to eat it, just like a cherry or a grape. It's still going to continue to live. It still lives. It's not dead. It's going to come back next year and the year after that. It's going
to
do the same job.
But it's not growing anymore because that's from that apple. It get its nourishment and get its nourishment, the source from the branches which is attached to. That, again, that is the vein. That's the vein. Once you detach it from that stem that's on that apple, once you detach it from that tree, you just cut off its life source.
That's the point of the apple. That's why the apple is an apple. That's what its job is. It's to feed the human beings. Now, you look right there.
You just bit the apple and you detached it from the tree. You just killed the apple. I understand.
The apple was going to die off anyway. Whether you pulled it off of there or not, it's going to fall off eventually.
Why don't you wait?
Because
okay,
it's going to die.
Why don't you wait for it to fall off the tree and then get it off the ground?
Because it won't be good anymore. It won't be life anymore. It won't be sustainable. It won't be actually beneficial or nourishing at that point.
But you ain't catching what I'm saying. You ain't catching.
Sorry, you ever read inside the Bible the first place where in Genesis where it says for what the human being is supposed to eat. It said, let the fruit be your meat. That's the first dictate God handed out for man, at least according to Genesis there. I don't have my book, my number, and all that stuff, but I know you know that stuff, and it's real early on in Genesis.
I understand that, but later on, it went to other parts that you.
But that's because man came. The white man. Well, let me just say, people.
There was no white man.
Enemies that was made. People on the planet that came later decided to do things differently.
So hold on. I ain't gonna even get into that.
How come we lived a thousand years in the beginnings? Why were we living 1,000 years? Because we were obedient to ourselves.
Lord, have mercy.
We lived 800 years, 700 years, 400 years, 300 years. People were living hundreds and hundreds of years, man.
No, sir, bro. Come on, now, hold up. Now you I believe in the Bible, bro. I know damn well. See, that's literalism that people always want to blame the Hebrews and Israelites for. Man, y'all take that shit literal. And I'm telling, and listen to me as one Hebrew Israelite that's telling you that's not literal, Doc. You have to, no man walked around this goddamn planet for no 1,000 years. See, you have to understand metaphors and allegory and understand things.
969.
Ain't nobody live no goddamn 1,000 years, Doc.
Methuselah lived 969. Other people live 900 and some years, and 800, and 7, and 6. Different hundreds
of years. When you read about certain things in there, you read about name, you might see Canaan in there, right? It's said to be a person, right? And Canaan also is a tribe, right? Would you think that Canaan, that was a tribe? It tell you how long that tribe lasted? Or how long that tribe existed under that name instead of this person left. Ain't nobody lived no goddamn 1,000 years. Come on, brother. It had a baby. You look at now how, hell, you get people in their 50s, their body falling apart. Now, you can imagine somebody 1,000 goddamn years old. Come on, bro. Now, we know damn we ain't nobody left no 1,000 years old. See, that's...
I ain't literally mean 1,000 years. I meant the last recorded or known person to live as long as they did was 969 years. The person called Methuselah.
That's not literal, my brother. That's
not a literal thing.
Nobody lived a thousand years. A lot of this stuff you deal with with tribes. These may be in a tribe or a nation.
How come Moses didn't have his first son until he was 150 years old?
Okay.
150.
He lived to be 150. Yeah, he lived.
No, he lived to be 450.
Moses.
Yes.
Moses lived 100. No, come on.
450. 450.
Oh, no, sir.
All right, man. You got to go do the knowledge, my brother.
His person. I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, too.
Your seed can be there. No, brother. No, ain't nobody walk. Believe me. No, you don't have to believe me. No, please don't believe me. Ain't nobody walked around here no 400 goddamn years and had no baby at 150 years old, bro. Ain't no goddamn way.
Way back, man.
How old is the planet? How old have humans been in existence? If them folk lived that goddamn long, man, how long have people lived in existence?
Well, you know, the planet
been in existence on this planet. If they lived
very, very long time. So you're right, because you know what? There was a period of time when it was some real, real big people who was real big, and it was a whole, I'd say maybe several billions of years ago, these big old people was around, and they was building everything up and doing all kinds of stuff everywhere. Big old giant people. Big old people. I'm telling you, they was like 30 feet tall. 30 feet tall, man. Come on, bro.
But that's why we really just tell everybody, put the Bible down. It ain't meant for everybody. Be honest. It's not meant for everybody. Be honest. I'm just going to be honest. Put that book down. It ain't meant for everybody. Nope, because you don't understand context. You don't understand certain things that go on. Even when you talk about this, even when you go into the book of Genesis, you just mentioned Genesis, right, or Bathsheba. Even when you go in there and it talked about God created this on that day, so and so. Brother, do you think there was actually somebody? That was not actual, literal, how it actually happened.
I know that. It was 6,000 years.
Like, for is this
years for all that.
We don't know that. I mean, but just check it out, brother. That's why in Africa, people literally didn't know. That's why you see
it was a day for a thousand years in God's eyes. In God's way, it was a day is a thousand years. Like,
again,
a blink
brother,
of the eye. A blink
you,
of the eye.
I know you look at different traditions. A lot of people had different traditions to tell how we got here. The Kemetic brothers and sisters in Kemet had a creation story, by Geb, Nun, Atumre, and all of these stuff. And men, forgetting a lot of these names off the top of my dome, had creation stories, how we got here. Sumerian text had a story how we got here. Just the Bible, just that Bible. I don't know what tradition it came from, because they said Moses wrote it. Now, y'all be like, well, how Moses went there? It was like oral tradition that so-called Moses, they give. And it wasn't just Moses either. So now, it was just supposed to have been that it was tradition that it's supposed to have been written down that he heard through oral tradition, whatnot, and how he got it. He just got to, hey, he went there like, well, man, God told me he wrote this down. It's like different things in tradition. Like, anyway, though, you have different traditions, man, throughout time that man have different stories about how we got here and tell stories about how we got here. Is it true? No, it's just man try to explain our existence. We don't freaking know how we got here. Who the fuck was here? Who was here to tell you watch the thing in creation happen? I would like to know that. Who was sitting here watching this God or nature create this thing and was jotting this shit down? Who was here?
The devil.
Man been trying to figure this question out for a long time. If it
Satan.
Was true, how? How we got here? We wouldn't have the thousands upon thousands of traditions, oral traditions. Some say you listen to the Dogon. They said they was created by the Nomos. They came from the star constellation Sirius. This person said we came from over here. So
wasn't the devil, God, angel, the first one or something like that?
And see, he was jealous of the guy and wanted to get kicked out.
That
would be
just a mythological story, just explaining some other things in nature and stuff. That don't mean that's true, as you say, the devil and stuff. You know, and then we know that the devil could just be something of nature, a force, a power, a energy. It's nothing, a literal person. It's like I said, you got to go again through different traditions. That's why I love you. When we talk about we African-centered or we stand at, study goddamn African traditions, spiritual systems. Study African spiritual traditions and you will see. And I know we a lot of people, we hearken on one tradition because we know the Bible. Most of the people in here in America, especially in America, we know of the Bible. And we look at those traditions, but we never look at other traditions and see what they are saying. Because, you know, especially like you look at what they call Near East or Eastern traditions. And like especially in the conscious community, that's why I like the brother Zion Lex, man. That brother, he keep it real with 1,000. And he do his research. he might say he's an Israelite, but then one thing about it, the brother have learned, just try to learn the language. He's looking into the Kemetic culture. And I looked at the one thing, he showed a lot of the similarities. That a lot of Slovakian brothers up here arguing about this and that. He showed the similarity and showed that we are kinfolks, cousins. He showed this.
Yeah.
Like, you might show you. And where he come from, show you about the cookie. See, that's what I'm saying. When people, man, sitting around here arguing over this ignorant ass shit that they be arguing about, come on, man. We wasting our fucking time. Like right now, and we talk about earlier, starting off the show, we're seeing people who's not the indigenous people of those land that we call in Israel right now, the Palestinians and Israel over there fighting over territory was not originally theirs in the fucking first place. But we two bees over here arguing with each other and got a pot pissing and a window to throw out of, and we arguing with each other over talking about, no, you not them people, brother. No, you ain't them people. When you got other people living in our lands, and I was in our lands that we supposed to be owning right now. Supposed to be ruling and doing great things with it. And now, and we all know each other talking about we ain't this. See, that's why people be talking about reparations. That's why you'll never fucking get reparations in America. I'm sorry, y'all. I got to say it. That's why you'll never get it, because you know why? You got people like saying, well, we from Africa. We came over here on a transatlantic slave ship. And then you got some more other knuckleheads out here, and I'm going to fucking say his name, like Dane Calloway. I hear talking about some bullshit. No, the transatlantic slave trade never happened. So the white man or whoever saying, well, you know what? These motherfuckers doing us a job. We ain't never got to goddamn give them shit. Because they said they never came. Because we said we'd give reparation to those from the transatlantic slave trade, those Africans came over here, and they saying they not from Africa. This fool got thousands, probably millions of people listening to him. We ain't going to never give him shit because he denying he's African. They said he was already over here.
Contract,
we're going to give reparations to the African, those of African descent, not those with indigenous. So if they saying they indigenous, we ain't got to give them shit. And another thing, then he trying to turn around and say, oh, Harry Tubman. You know, at first was Nat Turner didn't exist. Harry Tubman didn't exist. All of it was bullshit. So we are never in our rightful place as we as so-called black Americans. And I'm going to blame it on black Americans. You don't hear that shit over in Africa. You don't hear the denial of heritage. Now, it may be the denial of heritage like us in this fucking westernized society are doing over here in America. We turn each other down. Not the piss in and wanting to throw out of. We trying to talk about, we trying to find our identity. And then when somebody say, hey, I research and I think that we are these people. No, that's not who y'all are. So you start all back at scratch again. Like, well, fuck it then. Who are we then, bro? Who are we? Since you're saying
bring
we
the
ain't
black brigades on Dame Calloway.
I mean, I'm just saying it ain't just Dame Calloway. That's everybody in the country community. You know, we say, well, you from Kemet. No, you ain't. You an Israelite. And then, no, you ain't no goddamn Israelite. Well, I'm from here. Now, you ain't from that. Like, well, damn, bro, what the fuck? Not knowing where the fuck we from. And everybody else are like, you know what? Why are they so big dogging over there? Man, we living off the land. Hey, we staying by those people. We got all the resources. We got, look at them. How in Israel, they got whatever the resources they got. They got all the resources and all of these type of things. They colonizing Africa, they taking every fucking thing that we denied. I ain't no motherfucking African. But then you got the Europeans over there got the diamond mines getting rich off of because we denying being Africans and all those resources over there. See, when you denying other shit, them motherfuckers over there living out who you supposed to claim, who you really were, they got your identity and living off of it, and everybody's dealing with them. Like I said, well, if they don't want to be these people, hey, we will be those people. Like the Bible says, going to the Torah, in the book of Deuteronomy said, again, in Deuteronomy, it talks about how that if we do certain things, we will be the lender and not the borrower. We will be the head and not the tail. Now we have become the fucking tail end of everything. Like you even looking in America, they talk about the so-called white folks have been the majority in this country. But they talk about now, hell, in what, 2030 or something, the Hispanics going to be at the top. So we've been at the top behind white folks and everybody else for a while. They still going to put us at the fucking back of the line. Because number one, we have to get back to shit and say, hey, man, look, I don't give a fuck if you the Kemetic brothers, stand up and be Kemet. If you a Hebrew, stand up and be that. Listen, let's take all of our shit back. Let's take all of our shit back. So like I said, even in that conflict over there, we just tell, hey, man, all y'all bullshit. Ain't now one of y'all Palestinian, y'all get the fuck out of our land. You Israel, you Ashkenazis, you Khazarians, y'all get the fuck out. Y'all, all of y'all imposters. That's our land. Y'all fighting to keep our fucking land. Just point blank. Until we do that, we still going to be sitting around here bullshit. And that's what we truly are. We're going to tear each other down. It's like right now what I'm saying, what I'm even saying about that. Why black folks should be having those type of arguments. Five, none of them should be having those. If they want to have disagreements and battles, they should be arguing with them motherfuckers like that on that. Hey, man.
Well, all of this stuff, all of these countries is the same thing. It's the same kind of history. So around 1200 that there, those Palestinians came down in there, and that's when black people started leaving up out of there after they started fighting with them and then lightening up the culture over there and everything. And then it's just one state after the next, one country after the next. The invaders will come in and do the same thing throughout North Africa. So throughout all of North Africa, all you see is former places where black people used to call home a long time ago, but it seems to be within the period of anywhere from 700 B.C., all the way up to 1200 A.D. is when these things started happening and continuing to happen. So from the last time some of our people lived in their countries that you're saying we should come back and take over, it's been hundreds and hundreds of years ago was the last time that majority of black people lived in those places. So to us right now, it seems far-fetched for us to go back and claim Palestine and Israel and all that and tell them both to go home and look, this is our shit. Like, you know, both of y'all is out of place. It's been so long, we don't even have no idea. That's why I was dealing with the current situation or things that's happened in the last perhaps over maybe 100 years or something like that to lead up to the takeover in Israel, to call it Israel and everything like that. But, you know, prior to that takeover, it was just called Palestine. And the people that lived throughout the whole, what you call Israel now, they call Palestine. And they lived and walked and went everywhere they wanted to go in their country. Now, that was because they had been there for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years when they kicked black people out.
I hear you, brother, but that's why I said you want to give it to Palestine. You want to give it to the Palestinians. But I got to tell you, before the Palestinians, who were there?
Black folks were there.
Way before they were.
But that was 800 years ago.
It don't matter. It don't matter if it was yesterday. If I took your bike 5 years ago, I took your bike from you 5 years ago. It wouldn't matter how long ago it was your bike. It don't matter how long ago I took your bike. That was your shit. That was your bike. So it's regardless of how long ago it was, they show it. So you don't let the statute of limitation run out on what was yours. So I guess we could just stop all this shit, and we could just stop all of this stuff right today then, since 400 years ago or whatever people said with the slavery act, we could just stop all this shit right now. Fuck it. We Americans. There was, like some people say, get over it. Don't worry about what happened to y'all in the past, what they did to y'all. Just get over it. Don't talk about, you know, Africans. Y'all Americans right now. Fuck that shit. The 400 years, that's a long time ago. Get over
it. But look, you got to look at karma. Now, I look at karma the same way. Whatever's happening to the Palestinians, and 800 years ago from when they came and took over and claimed that place for theirs from the black people who was the original people of the land and stole their land from up underneath their feet and treated them brutally and starved them out and kicked them out and brutalized them and raped them and pillaged them and tore up all of their properties and called them all kinds of names and stuff. Well, for the last 70 years or so, they've been getting a whole bunch of backlash from what karma was, what they probably did to our ancestors a long time ago. So we finally came back to deal with their children's children's children. That we put, you know, what their forefathers had did to our people. Maybe that's some of the stuff that's come back on them, coming in, killing them and all this stuff. It could be just karma, not just my opinion.
It's not. You're right. Historically, you got to go back to the Romans. You got to go back to the Romans. The Edom, what they call Edomites, or the Akhetim. You got to go back to the Romans because, again, when you know the history and you hear way back in before 70 A.D. with Titus Vespasian, where they went in and the original black Israelites or black people in them that was in Jerusalem when the Romans came in and took over. So it goes way back before the so-called Palestinians or the Arabs. It was the Romans. Go back to them. It was them. And that's why you had blacks who say that they were scattered. If you ever read, what's my good brother, Rudolph Windsor, his book From Babylon to Timbuktu, he goes into that history. And not just him, but some other people. I'll just give you that book for example. He goes into that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the pastor I bought this book. I forget his name. Theron is a blacks in the Bible who wrote a book, and even here, this Christian pastor even has it in there, has the history laid out in there. It was the Romans who did it, who went in, ransacked it, and took over. Like I said, Titus Vespasian in 70 A.D. That's how you get the so-called a lot of the children of Israel who's in West Africa. This history is documented that went in.
Gotcha.
Into West Africa. So, and then that's why I said, man, watch that documentary. I got to finish watching it. And even in that book, I told you, man, who is Esau, who is Edom, right? And that was a Christian European. I'm going to say it. It was a Christian European who wrote this book, Who is Esau, Who is Edom. He goes into the, and you know, they actually put him on the, what do you call that, man? Anti-Defamation League. I think that was what it was.
Oh, man.
Got him on there as the hate crime because he wrote this book against the so-called Jews. And also, I tell y'all again, the 13th tribe at Arthur Kessler, they tell you the whole history, how they got there and how they invaded, how they try to use this whole propaganda about they the children of Israel, how they use this Jewish thing, the Zionist thing. And they try to say how they used that and they got the whole Christian world bagging them. Because he just lied and said, we're children of Israel. And in history even tells you, like I said, you can just look on the Encyclopedia Britannica and look up the Khazarians. And it tells you how they converted. When you look up, even in the Bible, when you look up talking about, not Pontius Pilate, but Herod. Herod was what we call an Edomite or a Dumian. He converted what they call converted or apostolized. To what we say our culture, it wasn't a religion, but to their culture. And now the Jews, now they have something called Judaism, which they made a religion. So we got to understand the whole context of it. They made it a religion, but they took on, they seen a customary way that a people were living, and they took on that way, and they made so-called a religion out of it. But they took the customs and stuff. But they,
well, how
they
is this, though? I was going to say, how is this, son, Ray? Now, you got Israel, and then surrounding Israel, you know, you got different countries who are basically Arabs, right? So you got Jordan and Syria and, you know, Egypt and all these countries that are right around. And then even countries behind those countries, everybody kind of looks the same. But then in Israel, it's like only this white little speck. It's like a white speck, and then everybody else looks like an Arab. And then it's just this one little small country or a little small island, a place, little small place. And it's surrounding this little bitty place that these white people who have came in there and want to claim there are no other white people anywhere nearby, you know, that make them look like they really fit in right there. Because everybody else is an Arab in the whole area. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Syria, Libya, Egypt. I said Egypt already. But those are the countries that surround or are close to Israel. The closest white country would be really like Turkish people or look kind of more European white. And then the country that's white, that's the closest to Israel, would be Greece, kind of far away still. But everybody else around, everybody look like an Arab except for Israel people. They look like they white people who came in there and don't really belong.
They are
European.
That's
just how it looks to me.
We are European. That's why I say you got to do the research. That's why I'm throwing out names to research. They are the emerging people that's in there. You got the Khazarians. Khazars from the Khazarian Mountains.
They're all
from
Turkey.
You got the Ashkenazi, or you got the Sephardines. Sephardines are from Spain. You look at they call themselves Sephardine Jews, Sephardic Jews. They are from Spain. All of them Europeans. They are European. That's why they say they are European Jews. Hitler know this shit. Go and read some shit that Hitler was saying about them. They knew they were who they were. That's why I say, again, even when you say the Arabs, where did they come from? Originally, where did those people come from? Turkey.
Caucasus Mountains.
Ottoman
Caucasus
Empire. But the Ottoman Empire, they using this term called Arabs from a, you know, place they renamed, or they call it the Arabian Peninsula. Who, you know, so it all these people came in, man, and who took on names and shit and changed it. But they all migrated from somewhere else. The original people of all of those lands are not primarily there anymore. And which, you know who I'm talking about. The
right
people are us. The original nomadic, most of the better ones you will see, talking about better ones were black people. Original so-called, we want to say Arabs, were black.
Yep.
Again, man, I said, I give a shout out to good brother Zion Lex, man, who he's showing and proving that I like this brother's scholarship. He's not being biased on a lot of stuff. He's showing a lot of stuff, and he's showing if some of these conscious people would just take the time and stop the bullshit they sell and look, because he's showing a connection between of all of us. He's showing that African connection from the Kushite all the way up to Samaria, back down into what y'all are calling Kemet. He's showing that connection. If we move, we might start over here and with our tribe and calling ourselves one thing over here, then we go somewhere else and set up another empire. We might start calling ourselves something over here. Then we come back over here and we trade and with our brothers over here, and they might, you know, copy a little something, or not copy something, though. Like, damn, I like how y'all built them ziggurats. You know, hey, we're going to build something too. We're going to call it pyramids. And he was even showing you, he's even showing what they call the step pyramid of a Sinkare. I don't know what I'm pronouncing that. Sinkare from Zoza, and showing how there was ziggurats in so-called Mesopotamia or Samaria before that was even built. But it still, does it take away and say, fuck it, because they were first? It still were kinfolk.
That's right.
Cousins who was doing it. So we got to stop this ignorant-ass shit. And excuse me, y'all, I got to put it like that. Stop this ignorant-ass shit of in this West. And I think, man, we worse than fucking white folks when it come down to this shit. Stop this arguing with each other, man, because of what? We were kinfolk, brother. Come, I got kinfolks in Chicago and all these places. They doing something different than me right now. They doing something totally different than what we used to do when they was living down here in Memphis. They did having a different custom, a different style. Do they? Are they my enemy? Are they? I'm not related to them now because they moved to Chicago. Just because they doing something different, use different terminologies. Their slang is a little different. Their language and no, them still my kinfolk, man. So we have family reunion. We gonna kick it. We cousin. We family. We sharing information. We glad to see each other. And you even look in the Bible a lot of time. The Bible, you see why that the Hebrews were going back and forward into Egypt. You might say, well, they had them in slavery 400 years. Abraham. Notice Abraham, right? He kicked it with the Pharaoh, Solomon. Now, Solomon, this after the so-called bondage in Egypt. Solomon was, he married one of Pharaoh's daughter. Wait a minute. Why would you marry a motherfucking daughter, dude? They just had your folks in slavery because it wasn't really like y'all think about that slavery. There's some things. I got this. This is a great work, man, this Bible. I mean, it's, it was a black historian, I mean, black Christian theologians and along with some of the Hebrews that did this. They had a Bible, right? It's called the original African, average African. I got to do this another day. I'll probably do this another day because we're about to run out of time. The original African heritage. Study Bible. This is Encyclopedic Concordance. It ain't like that motherfucking Zandavan with all them white folk be translating what they saying. I love this here because it's from our true history of how they break stuff down and tell you like the Canaanites were totally black. But anyway, it'll tell you like how even going in with Joseph and stuff that like this. It'll tell you how a lot of those people, like even the Israelites or whatever, they sold, well not sold, they due to certain situations and things that was happening, they, as we would say, allowed themselves to go into servitude. And the Bible might have, this book might have slavery, but going into servitude and agreed to work for a certain time and things of this nature. So a lot of that was happening because, hey, man, it was like Egypt, man, was like New York City at the time. That's where all the jobs, that's where the work was. You needed some work, hey, when shit happening in your city. Hey, man, let's go to New York. Let's go to Egypt, man.
I like how you said that, man.
They building the Empire State Building, you know, called the, you know, one of them pyramids. Hey, bro, yeah. Let's go over there. We can make some money in Egypt. Let's go on over there. So that's what a lot of this is going on, man. So we really, when you, like I said, again, when you really know how to start learning how to do research and stop listening to some of these knucklehead-ass scholars out here, so-called scholars, and they have fucked a lot of our people up. Excuse me, y'all. They have. They have divided us like the country community started doing. They have, and it wasn't like, it wasn't like, it's just like when we look at slavery, more atrocity was that it was, y'all. I'm not trying to make it light, but you look at, it was a business. And I know this sounds harsh like a motherfucker, but it was a business. But even when you look at that, even with went into what happened into the so-called Hebrews going into slavery, when you really find out about what really was going on, it wasn't like, how did they get there? Did nobody go and snatch them up and round them up like we talked about the transatlantic slave trade? Wasn't nobody going into Canaan land or in what y'all call Israel now, running over there, grabbing no Hebrews and putting them in no goddamn slavery, no shackles and no chains. It didn't happen like that.
Nope.
It didn't happen like that. So even the Hebrews don't be genuine, man, when they're trying to tell y'all this history. We've got a lot of disingenuous-ass people out here when it comes down to it. I'm going to tell you, here in the West, we mess ourselves up. We actually lie to our own people to sell people fucking books, sell people DVDs, and all of that go around the country so the Negro don't want a job. He don't really run away. He want to just sell you some fucking information. You damn it can get off anywhere on the Internet and just say, hey, I'm a scholar now. And I'm telling you, it's a lot of bullshit. So a lot of this shit, man, I'm telling y'all, I had to damn near start to erase my data bank in my head from a lot of shit I've learned.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff I'm really seeing, bro. When I read a lot of this stuff my own self and find the right books and find the right encyclopedias and just basic stuff, I'm like, wait a minute, bro. Wait a minute. And it'd be like,
I had to do the same thing.
This shit don't say that, man. What the hell are they getting it? And it'd be something simple and plain in a dictionary, something that you ain't even looked up because you trusted this person on the Internet or whatever, this scholar, because he's the big name in the community. Everybody verify this scholar. But when you looked at it, like I said, bro, that shit don't say that, man. Come on, man. But I digress.
Yep. man, you make some good points, man. The conscious community, you know, and all that going back and forth stuff is something that just keeps us at each other's neck for no reason. We don't need to be talking like that. We should be talking about things that bring us together and not things that keep us divided. That's why when I said to you about the religion thing, like, you can have your religion, but when we coming together and we trying to get together and unite your religion to the side, like Malcolm X said, and come to the table and see what we can do in unison with each other. Instead of talking about religion, we should be talking about what we can do to accomplish something or to have a goal that we can achieve together without having any conflicts of interest dealing with religion or our religious philosophies. You can feel however you want. You can think whatever you want. You can have God or you can be an atheist. It shouldn't matter. If we can unite and come together and do what our forefathers did, our foremothers, when they came together and treated each other with respect, and they was able to get things done, start businesses, create jobs for each other, and create all kinds of opportunities for each other. When we talk about Black Wall Street, I see Black Wall Street all over the country. When I was a little boy and segregation was just still coming to an end and all that stuff, and it was still Black folks having a Black town and having Black restaurants and Black stores and everything. And so like after the 70s, all that stuff came to an end. But during the 70s, we still had a lot of that. We would travel to Kentucky. I had only went to Kentucky one time, but it was a Black town, had Black stores in the town, Black restaurants in the town. It was a small town, but it was ran by Black people. They had their own homes, Black communities, nice homes, well-kept, clean, no trash everywhere. People treated each other with respect. Same thing when I went to Cleveland when I was a young man. Same thing. They had it together. They had nice homes. It was clean. People was respectful. They had the different communities that had different jobs, and people went and patronized the cleaners and the restaurants. And there was even shops where you go buy wigs. I remember my mom went and bought a wig, one of them Afro wigs one time. It was a Black store. I remember the person that owned it was a Black person. All in Georgia, down in Augusta, all these towns was Black towns ran by Black people. I remember going through these towns when I was young, before the 80s and through the 80s. And you can see the further in time we got, we started to not have those places that we used to have, those home restaurants, mom and pop shops, and little stores that we had in the community. Whether it was a candy store or whatever kind of store, it was ran by Black people. All in the 80s, all throughout the 70s, we still had our stuff. And we were still treating each other like people should treat each other, like family or like people who are in your race that you're supposed to look after and take care of and make sure everybody's all right. And then, you know, people would talk to the children and give them a little something as far as like to make them do something proper or do something straight. Like today, I was coming home, and I was walking past the store, and the children came out, 2, 7, 8 years old, 9, whatever they are, came out the store, and they tore open their bag, whatever it was, and threw the bag on the ground. And then the other bag that had the product in it, he threw that on the ground as I was approaching. And then I looked at them. I said, hey. I said, the trash can is right there, y'all. And then he looked at me, and he picked up the trash, and he walked over. I said, see, it's just right. There's two trash cans right there, and you just going to come out the store and just drop your trash right on the ground. So they picked it up, and it was a quick lesson, and I kept it moving. They kept it moving. I feel that they learned something from that when I told them, hey, man, you know,
however I said it, I can't say it the same way right now, but whatever I said, it was like, you know, you want to keep the area nice or keep it, you know, whatever it was. I can't remember what I said, but it worked out, and I do believe they got the lesson from that. Another thing, I was on the basketball court the other day, and this three-year-old was trying to shoot the ball. I didn't know he was three yet, but he was trying to shoot the ball, and he's shooting like Steph Curry, but he just can't get the ball up. It's 10 feet. Ain't no way he's going to make that ball go up to the 10 feet. And he's trying his hardest. And I'm like, wow, this kid really wants to make this shot. I said, come here, man. And he walked over to me, right? And I said, stand right here. You want to make this shot? And he stood right in front of the goal. And I said, this is what you got to do. You got to underhand shoot it. So I did it first. I showed him how to do it. I put it down, and I underhand pumped it two or three times. Then I flipped it up there, and my shot went right in. I said, that's all you got to do. You flip it up there like that. So then I gave him the ball. He stood right there. He counted three. I said, say one, two, three, and flip it up there. And he did that, and it flipped it up, and it flipped right in. And it was amazing. And I said, that's what I'm talking about. And then his mama was over there sitting on the bench. And she said, what happened? I said, he just made his first shot in his life. That's what happened.
Yeah. And I know we got over on the Empire. God damn. All the blogs. I'll get stopped recording.
Oh, okay. Man. We can get ready to go off then, man.
It got over. Yeah. And I tell people like, too. I got to stop making sure I catch this. Because on the talk show, it only going to let us record the 3 hours. But talk show, if y'all listen to it, maybe on Apple, iHeartRadio, if I'm doing a talk show, which I'm recording now too, you will still get all that overtime past 3 hours. Only on Blog Talk that you only get into 3 hours. And I can't, you won't even let me upload the other part on that. Just get 3 hours. But talk show, which is always distributed on iHeartRadio. Did I put it on TuneIn? TuneIn Radio. That feed is coming through.
It's kind of slow sometimes. Then it makes you start over a lot.
So to get the over 3 hours, you have to listen to it through
iHeart Radio is the best.
And iHeart, yeah, listen to the
iHeart is the best.
You get your praise there. But I want to throw out this right fast. Now, for far as religion is, again, would divide us, I would say that is a westernized, and I would say it's a later westernized concept that we have, that religion is what divides us. Because, again, if we go back into Africa again in times, civilization or what we call religion, your politics, your religion is a part of your culture. You ain't got no culture if you ain't got no religion. You look at them. Go again, y'all. Look at all of them. I got to use
that part where Malcolm X said it.
I understand what he said, but that's a westernized concept that we getting in. I know what I said, westernized concept, but you go and look at every, and just look at, you ain't got to take that back. You can stay in America. Look at how religion helped our people get to way with it. Look at all these religions. For a matter of fact, what was Malcolm's religion? The organization
Islam,
he was with.
Muslim. Islam.
What group was he was with? The Nation of Islam. The Moorish Science Temple, basically like Muslims.
He never claimed the
Moorish
Science Temple. He only claimed the Nation of
Islam. Come on, Malcolm. I'm not
talking
about Malcolm.
Black Muslim movement.
All these movements in America have been based, they've been some kind of like a movement, but they've been like religious type movements in America that have did things to push our people forward here in America, even the church. So that's why I'm saying, even when you go back to historical time and just looking even in Africa, all of these things, these civilizations, like we talk about Kemet all the time, just look at the greatness of Kemet did when they had a religion like a mother sucker all up through there. It's just today in our westernized mindset that we have today, we don't want to deal with spirituality. We don't want to deal with, as we call, religion. Get rid of it.
They call my eye a way of life, though, not a religion.
I'm just using religion, and you really look at what the look up the real word of religion, not these what these goddamn so-called scholars telling y'all again. That's why I said, we'll get technical, but when you really look at what they call religion, again, as Africa, it's just today our none. We want to be so-called African, but we really not being African. Look at the African over there. They ain't got no problem with so-called spirituality religion over in Africa, do they? What, name me a atheist country in Africa, a atheist fucking country over in Africa. I'll be waiting. But the thing again is, you look at our condition here in America. Look at our condition when we were growing up through slavery, how people, they had spirituality or a so-called religion. They faith made them do stuff, brother. It moved us to fight for our freedom and everything in America. And just look at again. And I know some people are going to disagree, but that's fine. But when you look at our conditions today and how we are taking on the ways, all these homosexual ways and all this other shit that we weren't doing, because now remember now when grandmama and them were making problem, hey, you going to church and instilling certain things in you based around their religious belief. You weren't doing all this bull crap that we were doing. But now look at us, that we don't throw religion in the garbage or throw God or whatever you want to call it in the garbage. Look at our condition.
I didn't say that. I said don't bring it to the table when we're trying to conduct business.
But nobody said that it was, see, that's the problem. But see, here's the problem with America. I mean, what we're doing today, you can't even have a religion. You figure, like, these guys, when they say that, right, and look at the people who say it. Most of them say they don't believe in God. Who's saying that? They don't believe in the concept of a God. Who's saying this? They don't even want to link up with you if you with the Nation of Islam or you with this group. They don't want to deal with you. You got to be like they are. And really, you don't even know what the fuck they are, because they say they teaching one thing and they ain't even a part of those traditions that they say they are. Again, a lot of people will come together. When incidents like some of the functions you go to, y'all come together, and no matter what people's spiritual things, like, I know you participate in a lot of functions. Probably a lot of y'all from a different, like, spiritual way of life or religion.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all come together. Y'all ain't talking about religion. It's like a good cause y'all come to.
Mm-hmm.
So you can come together. We are doing it. A lot of people, we are already doing it without bringing religion. You go to them. You don't know what these people religion are. Like, you go to work for people. You don't know what they fucking religion. You come together, hey man, we gotta do this job. So it ain't a problem with religion. It's just some of these knuckleheads say this shit. But we ain't got no problem. Hell, how a million men, all them million men that went to the Million Man March, all the one with the Nation of Islam. Farrakhan have a lot of people that follow him that ain't even in the Nation of Islam, be willing to kill and destroy for Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. So religion is a damn